Hello.
Man, your kids must sabotage that computer.
It's all the damn games they put on it.
It's like viruses, and you just can't get your act together with that computer. Is this the new computer?
Technically, it's my old computer's. Because my kids are using my new computer right now.
Oh, so you need to buy yourself a new computer.
Yeah, because when I say my computer, I'm doing finger quotes.
So is
technically my son's computer.
Micah's looking for his microphone.
Oh boy.
Yeah, he's very prepared for episode 200.
Well, he's been drinking all morning, so.
And so are you. You're prepared. I was there talking to myself for 10 minutes.
Waiting for me to respond. Why isn't he saying anything?
So how are you? Are you excited? Are you What do you think?
What I think about what? The new announcements. The new announcements from. How do I DC Comics? I don't know.
This is episode 200.
Oh yeah! Welcome to episode 200.
Wait, yeah.
I'm gonna try and do a sound effect. Hang on. Because we're professionals.
You have sound effects?
I don't know. I'm trying.
Oh, Jesus.
An error occurred.
Oh. Yeah. We are prepared for this episode.
Okay, what does error 800 7002 mean? You're the technical.
What is the error? Let me write it down. Error 7,802? 800-7002.
800-7002. What is that, 8 million? All right, I'm going to close. Hopefully I don't lose you. Mike, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Testing.
800 and then 7,002? Like dash?
No, just one big number.
800. That's a weird way to say it.
It's too small for me to. Is it 8 million? I can't.
800.
800-7002. Okay, I'm going to try this.
800-7002. What are you doing?
Error occurred. If I just try and play an MB3, what happens?
Is Luke going to join us?
Can't hear that. What
is Luke?
Yes,
Foster?
We have a couple guests on the show today.
Who did you line up?
Luke Foster. You can add him.
Okay. Let's see if Micah's here yet. Let's see. All right, he's there. Let's add to Micah because he is our other co-brother. Hello. It's not working.
Is it working?
Yes.
All right.
You're live on episode 200 as our guest, Micah.
It's like a drag race going on outside now, so.
What's going on? Drag racing?
I don't know. That's what it seems like. That's what it sounds like.
That's awesome.
There's no need for that car to be that loud.
So Bill is trying to do some sound effects for episode 200, and it's not working out too well.
Yeah, do you know what error 807,002 is?
What's going on?
So we're adding Luke Foster to the call, and he's okay. Going to be drunk.
Of course.
He ain't going to be. Wait, how do I edit? Send you a message.
Hello.
Hey. Hello.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm glad you can join us.
Yeah, me too.
Snowing?
No, we're. It looks like we're mercifully going to miss the storm this weekend.
Oh, are you drinking?
No, I'm not drinking.
It's good. You should stop drinking at least half hour before the show, I always say.
Are you driving?
Wow. You know, for the record, for episode 100, I did not stay at that party because I was too drunk to drive. It was because there was a snowstorm and no one could drive home.
Not in that condition.
Not condition.
Wow. I'll see you all in court.
They were saying you did the right thing and didn't get in the car. It's a noble, noble. You're very noble drunk. So welcome, Luke. You haven't been on in a while.
No, I haven't.
He's been in the country. He's been busy.
Yeah. I think the last time I was actually on the show was, 2 years ago. But I did stop at every one of your houses on the trip. So now I know what it looks like at each of your recording stations. Right. The thing is, though, every time when I hear you guys talking now, I always imagine you wearing like the clothes you were wearing when I was there. So no matter what the season is, Mike is always wearing an Aquaman T-shirt, and Mike is always wearing his Tasmanian Devil T-shirt, and Bill's always wearing a polo shirt.
I was naked when you were here. I don't understand.
Yeah, that's not a shirt. That's actually a tattoo on his chest.
That was my hairy chest. What are you talking about?
He shaves it into the shape of Aquaman.
Oh, in that case, I like it.
So, who did you say there was another guest, Bill?
I'm gonna message you.
Bill's like awesome prepared, man.
Yeah.
I don't know how to check this message.
Click on message. Click on recent.
A little bloop should pop up for you.
It's not letting me go there. Interesting.
Why can't you go there?
Click. Oh, there's recent. Bill Bomer, recent. And who are we adding? Is this a surprise?
Surprise.
Stan Lee! Damn! How'd you do this?
He's almost dead. He doesn't know what he's doing anymore.
He'll go on any show.
TV's Gil Gerard? No way.
That would be something. It's Erin Gray.
You got Erin Gray?
And then she's like, wait a minute, I thought this was Geek Brunch Retrocast. Hang up.
Sorry.
Oh, I actually need him to accept me as a friend, or I can't call him.
Oh, good point. Skype, for your safety.
He'll accept you. I mean, she'll accept you. Oh, it's Mike Myers. Hi, Mike. I'm Erin.
Erin? Hey, I love you.
Thank you. Didn't I meet you at a con once?
Yeah, we met a couple times.
Yeah, I remember hugging you. You were wearing that Aquaman shirt.
So I'll try again. Oh, no, it won't let me. He's in Germany. How far off are they in time? You're good with time zones, Bill.
I think that's 7 hours.
Ahead of us?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to try it.
Did he accept you?
Yeah. It's not letting me add him, though. Oh, there he goes. Technology, man. You get to listen to how we do the behind-the-scenes technology.
The blow-by-blow.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Is this Erin Gray?
No. We want it to be, huh?
Bill told
you sound different. You sound different.
You sound so different. Welcome to episode 200, Norbert.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
We have Bill and Micah and Luke Foster.
Hi.
He's known for drinking on our 100 episodes.
He does anniversary.
It's the only time
right?
he drinks.
He celebrates by getting intoxicated.
You know, you're jeopardizing my chances to run for Congress.
Nobody.
we're helping your chances. That.
Nobody listens yeah. to this.
I can't figure out how to get back to Skype.
Try clicking on the Skype button.
The title of this will be Error 807002.
Oh, so, Luke and Norbert, you want to introduce yourselves? Luke, you want to go first?
Sure. I'm Luke Foster. I'm a cartoonist and a podcaster. I'm a rotating host on Everything Comes Back to 2000 AD and a rotating host on the Sunday Comics podcast. And I do a bunch of comics of my own. I do a daily all-ages strip called The Center of Somewhere, which is at centerofsomewhere.com. I've got a lot of other projects archived on my site there, including a travelogue I did where I traveled around the country for 4 months and drew a comic about it. And I actually just this weekend had the Kai comic was released with a short story I wrote for it called Dog Breath. It's issue 28 of Dog Breath.
You don't even like dogs. Come on.
It's a fanzine for the comic Strontium Dog.
It's not an authorized thing.
No.
It's about how stinky dog's breath is.
Exactly. No, Strontium Dog is a 2000 AD series about a bunch of mutant bounty hunters in the future, and Dog Breath is a authorized fanzine. Like the publisher of 2000 AD allows it, but they just don't allow them to make money off of it. So it's like it was basically just fanzine sort of thing. But there's lots of comic stories in each issue, and in this one I have my first one for the magazine.
Cool. So that's published in England.
Yeah. It's Future Quake Press is the people who put that out.
Are you actually writing about that character or no?
I wrote about one of them, the vampire bounty hunter Durham Red.
Uh-huh.
I wrote a 6-page story for that someone drew.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And it's like slash fiction?
Sweet. It's not slash fiction, no. Those are my private stories.
I think I once got an issue of Durham Red. I came across that character.
I don't even know who he is.
It's a she, actually.
There you go. Yeah, that shows that I don't know.
she's a mutant whose mutation is that she's a vampire.
Which one is that?
Durham
Which
Red.
Character? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that. I've heard of Strontium Dog before, but I've never read any.
Yeah, he's actually coming out with the new series through IDW.
Ah.
They're gonna reprint his classics as well as have a new series.
That's correct. They've been doing it with a lot of 2000 AD stuff over at IDW.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting a Rogue Trooper series. They've done Judge Dredd for a while, and they're doing reprints of Sinister Dexter.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, then I'll be able to understand Luke's fan fiction.
No, you won't. You're just going to get issue one. You're not going to understand shit.
That will give me enough context.
It's a vampire who shoots people, Bill. You've got the context you need.
What fanzine number is this in?
28.
Oh, well, Bill won't get it. It's just got to be number one. Is this something we can obtain electronically, or what? What is this?
I'm not certain if they do digital downloads of it, but you can order it online.
Do you have to order it from overseas and get it shipped, or what?
Yeah, you do.
All right, Norbert, you want to introduce yourself?
My turn, sure. My name is Norbert, and I'm a podcast listener. And a huge comic book fan, comics collector, like DC and Marvel, all of that, mainly DC. And that's how I came to follow Mike's other show, DC Noise. I started listening to that when New 52 first started.
You must have been disappointed to find out there's no DC in there.
Sure. And I don't know exactly when, but I think last year I discovered that you were on another show called the Geek Brunch Podcast, and I regularly listen to that and the Retrocast.
Yeah, we just got
those a lot. I follow you on Facebook. Yeah, and you see, I contribute to books by Spectrum Games. That's my side job. That's an American company that's based in Kansas, Parsons, Kansas, and they make role-playing games. Nice. All independent role-playing games, so that they're separate from D&D and all that. And we made one based on 80s cartoons like He-Man. And in 2012, we made one called Capes, Cowls, and Villains Foul, which is the superhero one.
Nice.
So I did editing for that, and I'm translating that now. I have translated it, just waiting to get published in the German edition. And oh yeah, I go to cons a lot. I wanted to say that. You know, I've been to a lot of cons, you know, comic cons and gaming cons. Sure.
Any recent ones?
Recently, there was a gaming get together in my hometown in Erlangen. Was mainly like card games and board games, and some friends of mine were there, and that's like 15 minutes from where I live. And then in February I went to Würzburg, and they had like an animation and comic book convention. It was good fun. Now, next one is going to be in late March, and that's in Ulm, actually, you know, a small event in Ulm. It's in a neighboring state. And then in June, there's a huge comic con in my hometown again, like mid-June, the Comic Salon. That's the primary like superhero comics and other comics-related one.
So how do American comics do over there? Are they popular or are they not?
They're now getting quite popular again because of the movies. But I think it's mainly the same situation that my American friends have told me about, that it's now an older crowd, an older audience that's reading them. Mm-hmm. Like not the kids so much. And when you talk about superheroes, of course, you know, we get all of the stuff in translations, and there's one company that's got the license for both DC and Marvel. So sometimes in German people cannot the two apart, because they're both done by Panini of Germany. Now, Panini are originally a company from Italy, but the German branch of Panini is doing the superhero comics, and has been releasing them for I think about the last 10 years.
So how does that work? They do the printing and the distribution?
They do printing, distribution. They supply all the comic shops and the train station bookstores and the let's see.
So they're basically just like licensing?
Comic books you can only get in special stores, or you get them from an online retailer. And you can get the American editions if you ask for them. A good store can get them for you, and I get a lot of the originals. And then you see when they're published in German currently, they are never exactly equivalent to the American edition. So they would take like Action Comics 1 and 2 and make it one issue. And actually with Action Comics it was different, because when the New 52 started, they took the Action Comics Superman and another book and published that as Superman. So the logo that appears on the cover is Superman, but the content is Action Comics. And then they published the book called Superman, and they had to call it something else. So that was the new Superman, or the Superman special.
Well, that's interesting. So the Grant Morrison was Superman, and that's... So do you read your comics all in German?
Well, I used to originally, but I learned English, and then in the 90s, you know, early 90s, just before the death of Superman happened and funeral for a friend, you know, I found a shop that could get the American ones. And then I had subscriptions, you know, with that shop for the next couple of years. And I had a subscription with DC Comics in New York also for two books. And this was before the internet, you know, just that brief time, you know, in the early 90s. And I remember I got The Outsiders, you know, from DC Comics directly.
Yeah.
Shipped to me. And there was Legends of the Dark Knight.
Nice. Really,
and now I've got like mainly DC titles, you know, on my monthly list through another shop, you know, and I'd followed that shop, you know, ever since 92, because they have moved several times and they changed owners, but it's still there, you know.
Right.
It's still the regular shop in my town.
I was just wondering if the German translations portrayed Hal Jordan any better in the new 52. Because he's a jerk. I just can't.
I'm not sure it's possible.
I just can't believe that he's the leader of the Lantern Corps. He's the terrible leader.
Mm.
I just finished reading that, and it amazes me the decision he makes as a leader. They're very self-centered decisions. They're not looking at things from the whole.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, wow, man, what have they done to this guy? But, Micah, we haven't heard from you in a long time. Where have you been?
I know. I've been everywhere. I'm a mess. Sometimes I don't even remember what happened the last.
But you've been you drove around for like 3 weeks looking for a new phone, right?
Well, what happened is we had that big snowstorm like 2 weeks ago or whatever, and so my phone happened to break the night where the snow hit. Mm-hmm. So Thursday, I couldn't go anywhere to go get a phone because everything was closed, and so there was nowhere to go. Yeah, and then Friday, some places were open, but the way my apartment complex is designed, and the way the road out of it, if you have to go certain directions, is designed, you couldn't get out of the entrance ramp because they had just packed snow on the hill and it turned to ice. And then if you were able to get out of there, which some people were able to do, like they just drove as fast as they could and hoped there were no cars coming, you made it to the road outside of my apartment complex, which is just basically still snow and ice because no one paved it because it's a side road. And we don't have enough salt in the city to...
I would imagine it just being dangerous just because they don't expect snow over there. Well, so it's like they don't know how to handle it. Nor do anybody know how to drive in it.
Well, like, we have a lot of people who know how to drive in it because, like, inside of Charlotte, there's, like, 9 people from Charlotte and everybody else is from somewhere else. But, like, the problem is that it just doesn't make any sense in the budget to buy a lot of salt and a lot of trucks.
Right.
Because this happens every 3 or 4 years, right? And it's cheaper to sit down in the city for 1 or 2 days than
Maybe we should buy a couple trucks. That could be our new business model and we could quit our jobs.
Yeah, but like you'd only have
every 3 years we charge up the wazoo.
Yeah,
and we have enough trucks. Last for three of us.
You go through private neighborhoods and just offer
we'll start dumping salt. Hey, you want salt? You gotta pay us.
we'll get you to work.
We are the salt mercenaries.
So Saturday, I went and I found a workaround. I got this old phone that I had laying around. So I was able to go. I just got a new SIM card and put it in there. That's
one of the old phones with the dial thing.
No.
Yeah, turn it.
You got a flip?
No. No, he was a plug in the wall phone.
He's got a Breaking Bad burner phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
basically, or one of the ones with the case.
So I put the SIM card into this old phone, and of course. Like 2 hours into it, the battery in that phone, because it is so old, decided, you know what, I'm good. No, thank you. And so that phone went out. And so So Sunday, I went to the T-Mobile store and was like, hey, everything's broken. They're like, we can give you a new SIM card right now, or you can go down to like the South Park store or whatever Which is like, it's still in Charlotte, but it's like 45 minutes away from my house. And you can go all the way down there, and they can just get you a phone that works or whatever, like a loaner phone that actually works. Because the store that's over where I am, I don't know how this works. Like, apparently there are these stores that are like technically stores for a phone company, but they're like weird like side projects. And then there's like a real store for the phone company that actually has things you can do. Like this store, you can basically pay your bill and get like buy like a brand new phone. But they can't fix anything. They can't look at your phone and tell you how broken it is or whatever. Like, it's purely like just like a little kiosk front end store. So if you go to the other store that's like a real store, they will actually look at your phone and be like, oh, your phone is totally warped. We can get you another one, right? And so I went down there. I did that. They just took another battery in my old one and got it working for a couple of days. And so it took me like 2 or 3 hours to actually get a phone last 2 Sundays ago. And then I just bought another phone because the phone I had, even though it was like temporarily working, was on the verge of dying again.
The story is too confusing.
I know, right? I know. This is the story of my life. I don't even know what I did
too
last.
Too many phones.
If you just stick with the phone like Bill's, you'll last through the apocalypse.
Nope, not if
I've had my phone for 14 years.
I can throw it in the snow.
We just can never communicate with them.
Yeah, that's why you can't reach me.
Your phone still works. Bill's phone is also older than his children, so.
Yeah, it is. He carries one of those ones that you have to dial. Like, you turn the dial.
You have to pick up the receiver, click it a few times, say, operator, I need to make a call.
Yeah, that's what he has to do. And they're at the they're at the switchboards connecting him still, like.
When I was a kid, the first house we moved into, when we moved from like more the city to like the country, and when we first moved in there, they had the party lines where I can't remember how you made a call, but when you picked up the phone, you could hear like the people and stuff. It was weird.
The party lines? You were calling the porno lines?
Like swingers? Like you go to a party, and you put whatever, and then you just open the phone up, and whoever answers it.
Wait a minute. I don't remember how it worked.
It's some dude ironing his clothes, and he's like, hey, baby. Yeah. Hi, Bill. Hi, 14-year-old Bill. I'm rubbing my nipples for you, right?
You ain't right, son.
Here, I'm going to do a search for phone party lines. See what happens. Oh, boy.
You get flagged by the NSA.
You'll get a 800-7002 error, I bet. So, let's talk some comics. Episode 200 comics. Luke,
you have to
be reading some comics. I know you've been reading some Mighty Avengers because you were getting me straight on that.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I just read the newest issue of Mighty Avengers, number 7. White Tiger, it makes a deal with the Tiger Spirit that gives her powers to let it take over her body so she can go kill Gideon Mace. The Avengers go and try to stop her, and Gideon Mace, it turns out, is running a real grassroots storefront operation, kind of like the Mighty Avengers, only he's a villain. That was a pretty good issue there as they try to deal with her and try to not get into the realm of bad press and bad public relations and all that jazz.
And the White Tiger pretty much kicked everybody's ass.
Oh, yeah.
Except for Spectrum.
Yeah, because she was clever and used her light powers. I love this book. I love the little the intro captions for each character. How they give the name, and instead of like their powers or something like that, they give like what they're thinking at that moment in time. And there's just a lot of humor that Al Ewing.
Thank God Bill's not in that book. It would say Bill Bomer dicks.
I don't think about that. I just like them in my movies. Oh, that sounds bad. I should clarify. and movies and television shows.
You don't want to seem discriminating, so. And so, that was really good. I really like it. Al Ewing is, doing a really good job with this book. He does seem to kind of be writing in the style of Bendis's Avengers. When you'd form a team, they'd, chat for a long time, do some fighting, chat some more. It does have Ewing's voice, but it has a Bendis feel to it.
What do you know Ewing from? Is he a 2000 AD guy or what?
Yeah, he wrote... Well, you know him in America because he's writing Loki, and he wrote the second arc of Jennifer Blood. But he in the UK, he's written a lot of Judge Dredd. He writes the series Zombo. He writes just a lot of stuff for 2000 AD.
I did like Loki a lot more than I think I like his Mighty Avengers. I'm kind of neutral on his Mighty Avengers. Like, there's aspects of it that I really like, and then there's things that I'm not sure I'm crazy about, but it's an interesting group of characters, and I'm following them more for – I like Cage a lot.
Yeah, Cage is one of my favorites, and I like how even when they were tied into the big events, they were still kind of on their own.
Yeah.
So
– I thought the conversation, not in the last issue, but the issue before with Luke Cage and the Blue Marvel, or is that what his name is?
Yeah.
Was quite interesting.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Just different perspectives on Cage and on the Blue Marvel, how others perceive them and how.
Yeah, but it was like a racial discussion within the same race. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, exactly.
One guy perceived it totally different than the other. It was an interesting.
It was a discussion. Race. It was a race thing and a generational thing too.
Yeah, it was both.
So I'm really digging that book. I read Indestructible Hulk.
Of course you did.
The Hulk is dealing with the aftermath of inhumanity. One of his scientists was a combination of the Terrigen Mists and the bomb that Banner built to try to stop the Terrigen Mists. Mutated one of his guys, so he's basically an anger vampire. Basically, he like sucks the anger and the rage out of people and turns them and it strengthens him. But if, like, for somebody like the Hulk, it would calm him down and take away his Hulkness. And then some evil scientists came and kidnapped the dude before they were able to give him the cure that Banner whipped up. So
that's getting relaunched soon.
Yeah, I think there's one more issue, and then another. And it's just this book has been going bi-monthly a lot. It's been only about a year, maybe less, that it's only been about a year since the last relaunch of it.
Yeah. It's kind of a dramatic jump between the previous Jason Aaron and the new team.
But I like what Wade has been doing. Not only is he making it fun, but is taking along a new tactic of, okay, yeah, I'm going to be the Hulk. I'll deal with it. We also have to accept that, and I want to do things that it can that the Hulk and Banner can both be productive at. So I thought making him an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. is actually pretty cool.
Cool deal.
So, I also read The Wake, number 6, by Scott.
Is that the one that just came out this week?
Yeah. Everything I'm talking about is from this week.
That's a good cover. I love the cover on that one. I haven't read the story yet, but
It basically, if you read the first five issues of The Wake, this is kind of like book two. It jumps 200 years into the future and deals with the aftermath of what happened with the psychotic carnivorous merpeople. Kind of a new cast, new status quo. Very interesting. It's less horror and more sci-fi right now, at least for this issue.
Still the same team?
Yep.
Creators?
Yep. And it's going to go another, like, it's going to go 10 issues total. So 5 issues of the first half and 5 for this half. It's interesting to see where this will be going. 100 Bullets Brother Lono, the final issue of that, by Azzarello and Rizzo. I really, really enjoyed this miniseries. I was a huge fan of the first 100 Bullets, But this one, instead of having like the world-spanning, multi-layered conspiracy epic that the first one was, this is a much more intimate, character-focused, narrow piece with Lono in Mexico. And just dealing, it is really, except for him, there's pretty much no ties to the original 100 Bullets. So you can totally read it on its own and it'd be fine. But it's full of all the violence and swearing and more violence that 100 Bullets is known for. Then I read The Massive, number 20. It's continuing, just continuing that epic going on as...
Are you doing the digital thing, or are you doing comics now?
I read mostly print comics. The only stuff I read in digital is Monkey Brain and then Afterlife with Archie. And occasionally, if I pick up a regular issue of Archie, I'll read it digitally. Yeah. So all these are still print.
Why do you read your Archies digitally?
What's that?
With the Archie,
why do you read the Archies digitally?
Because when... The guy who owned my comic book store passed away a year and a half ago. I was just really depressed and I had nowhere to buy comics and I wanted something that would be like kind of a pick-me-up, kind of a laughing kind of book. And so since I couldn't buy any like paper ones, I just went on to Monkey Brain or onto a Comixology and just bought a bunch of Archie comics.
Why can't you buy paper though?
Well, at the time my store was closed because store
so you just
dead.
In the routine
you just
of
kept
doing
the routine. Plus is it cheaper?
It's cheaper if you buy it the month after, but if you buy it that month, it's not.
Oh.
So
I'm getting back into Archie too.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. I mean, it's exactly the same as it was when I was a little kid, and at the same time, kind of different. The art style is different. Some new characters are trying, you know, different trippy things. I dig those when I read them. So The Massive was
you'd
just
be like, I wanted to read something more upbeat, so I read Archie the Married Life.
I read Afterlife.
And then you wanted to hang yourself. I'm so depressed. These guys are going to open a comic shop and it's going to fail.
Afterlife with Archie is a fantastic book. I talk about it so much on every time I'm on Sunday Comics.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is Archie, but it's a really realistic take on Archie, like the universe.
It's very unsettling to read it.
The characters are in character, but it's not light. It's definitely not lighthearted.
It's definitely with a real world kind of look to it. And then the last book I read this week was Sergio Aragonés' Funnies. It's just basically him doing short like silent comics like he does for Mad Magazine, combined with biographical stories and some other stories that he just makes up, like that have words. This is the last issue with Bongo. It says in here that he's going to another publisher soon, but it doesn't say who or when. It'll still be doing it bi-monthly because he's getting older and he can't stay at his desk for 16 hours a day drawing every friggin' thing that he draws.
I wouldn't think he'd have to because he's so damn fast. At least he was when I 10 years ago.
Yeah, he's still pretty fast, but you know he's had back problems and stuff, so he just
took a break for a while, didn't he?
Yeah,
I know. I remember it hadn't been solicited for a while, but then it came back.
It was because of his medical issues. So those are the six books I read this week.
Well, you didn't get to finish your Massive story.
Oh, yeah, it was just like in the middle of this current arc where they're in Eastern Europe and the crew is continuing to go through all the drama that they're going through. The captain and his second-in-command are dealing with the blowback of their mercenary days. They used to be in like one of those private armies, kind of like they're called Black Bell. Kind of how like Blackwater was, one of those private mercenary contractor things, and so they're trying to deal with that while they're still trying to find the ship, the Massive, and the captain of the ship. The captain of the boat has cancer and he's dying from it, and he's trying to do everything he can do before he dies. And you know, it's just continuing the drama of the series. It's ending in December, so there's only like 10 issues left. So
what issue is it on? Oh,
20.
20.
Yeah.
I thought he would do like DMZ and go to 60.
No, he said from the beginning that he's only planning to do the Master for 30 issues.
It's a damn shame he's not going to be doing Star Wars, probably.
Yeah.
God dang, that book is good. I never thought I'd be reading a Star Wars book in the top of my stack, but that is awesome. All right, Norbert, what do you got for us, comics? What have you been up to?
Yeah, I think I'm a few weeks behind compared to you, but I read that new Harley Quinn. That's a great one. You know, where Harley goes to Coney Island, and she now owns that house. That's also like this freak show theater, and she's a new owner because one of her patients has left that to her in his will. Oh, it's just so funny. And I think by issue number 3, her hamster has died. But you know, she still thinks that her hamster talks to her. I'm not sure.
I haven't read it yet. Believe it or not, is it going more on the humor side, or is there still like a dark, twisted side? Is she murdering people left and right, or? Is it more lighthearted?
She's killing a few people. She's, she's using a lot of violence, and other people are using violence. But it's also very heavy on the craziness, just wacky characters and wacky plot twists. And somebody is out to kill her there in Coney Island, and that's going to be the big reveal, like who's out to get her. And she almost got shot, but somebody saved her in the second issue.
It's kind of like Deadpool, Mike, in terms it's got a lot of the violence, but it does have the humor, too.
Yeah, but I don't like Deadpool.
He likes you.
I know he does. Well, I actually have something good to say about a Deadpool book, so I'll be quiet.
Yeah, I've picked up a Deadpool 2, where he's fighting vampires, but I haven't read that yet. I read that Howard Chaykin, Buck Rogers.
Oh, what did you think of that?
Oh, it's interesting. Yeah, I got back into the whole Buck Rogers universe about 2 years back, and I bought that original novel, you know, the Philip Francis Nolan novel. In the Chaykin book, you know, they went back to the universe from the original novel. But he changed it up quite a bit. You know, he put in more political stuff. You know, because when you read the original novel, the Armageddon 2419 AD, I think it is, that's where he's still Anthony Rogers. Like they haven't yet introduced the name Buck Rogers. That was in the Daily Comics then in 29. And he is a veteran of World War I. You know, the book came out in the 20s, so Second World War hadn't happened yet. And he's this veteran who is working in a mine, and he gets trapped in a mine shaft, and he passes out from some strange gas in the mine, and then he wakes up again, and it's the 25th century.
That's interesting. It's like John Carter passing out in the cave.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that. He's also in a cave.
Yeah.
Mm. Wasn't what's the princess's name in Buck Rogers?
It's Ardala.
Wasn't she only 13 in that novel?
No, she's not in the novel.
Okay, because there was a Buck Rogers novel that I read a few years ago where he was called Tony, like he was originally. And the princess in that was only like a teenager, and it was creepy.
Because in the TV show, she's like sexy. My God.
Yes.
She's got her Tiger Man.
I think in the comic book, like from the old days, from 1929, Ardala is more like a gangster mole. Like she's a She's the gangster woman, and the villains are based more on like classic movie gangsters. And she's not an alien. Like in the old Buck Rogers, everybody is from Earth. Until they introduce the Tiger Men, and the Tiger Men come from Mars. And in the TV show, there's only one Tiger Man who's the bodyguard. So it changed a lot from that. Now I was going to talk about the Chaykin one. They really made the Buck Rogers character a lot more modern and sort of politically correct. Like he's not out to kill all the Asians that have taken over America. As in the novel, you know, they're fighting the Chinese that have like conquered America in their airships. And it's all about like him protecting the white race, you know, and he organizes this uprising against the Asians. And in the comics, he's like, yeah, you cannot just kill the other race or just run on the hatred for the other race, because you cannot be effective when you're fueled by hatred. And also they have a backstory where he's been in World War One. Like in the Air Force or something, and then he comes back and he's protesting World War One, and he's protesting American involvement in Europe, and I think he's sort of in the Socialist Party then before his accident, like before he goes to the future. Yeah, and there's some new versions of the characters in there, like there's a new Wilma Deering in it, there's a new Ardala in it. And I think it ends with the fourth issue. And I've read issue number 3 of that Buck Rogers, and it says to be concluded, not to be continued. So I think they already wrapped it up.
I thought there were 4 issues on that.
Yeah, it ends with number 4.
Yeah. A matter of fact, Hermes Press, I don't know if you know this, but I've been keeping an eye on them because they've been doing a lot of Buck Rogers stuff. They're releasing the Whitman Buck Rogers hardcover, which covers the first 12 issues or so. It's expensive, but I'm getting it.
Which one is the Whitman?
It was the one, I think, right before the TV show started.
Mm-hmm.
But that novel sounds interesting. I mean, I never read the novel, but
it's a pretty short novel, and you can still find it. You know, there are various reprints, and
sounds like a Buck Rogers that I don't know. Like yeah, that's why it sounds interesting, just to know about a character that I've always envisioned to be a certain way, and it sounds like this is something different.
Yeah, I think I first saw the you know, that Gil Gerard movie before the series, because that was on TV here in the 80s. And then at some point we got that 1930 serial that was also dubbed into German, and we had that on TV in the 80s. Like first the Flash Gordon one, and then they used the same actor as Buck Rogers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until... So I started watching Buck Rogers, and the original actor showed up in the third episode.
Mm. Right, he's only in that one.
Yeah. Cool deal. That sounds interesting. I'm gonna have. I have that. I just. It's like one of those things that Luke saw. How behind I get. I think he understands now.
Yeah.
So much to choose from.
That's right, yeah. I still have so many things, you know, piled up. I don't read as many comics in a week, you know, then I always see what you read on your Facebook.
You know, yeah, I read a lot on the weekends.
Informed, yeah, and you're rating them, right?
Yeah.
So which one is 5 out of 5 and 4 out of 5?
So, do you have any other books you want to plug real quick?
Well, the Abnett and Lanning Guardians of the Galaxy is very fun.
Yeah, that was great.
It's an older book. I have that on my iPad now from Comixology. I was reading that just recently, like on a bus ride. I was reading some Guardians of the Galaxy. And they're promoting that all over now with the movie coming up. And there's going to be a new Guardians of the Galaxy and a new Rocket Raccoon solo series. And I just got to that part in the Abnett and Lanning run. I think this is from 2008, 2009. Where they're fighting that Church of Universal Truth or something.
Mm-hmm.
They're on that planet where they're protected by the force field from the impact of a sun. And then Gamora and the others have to keep up that force field. You know, they almost get burned. And then, you know, they just make it out of there. And then, you know, that Church of Universal Truth, you know, they control several planets, and they're still on their tail coming after them. And those characters were all new to me because I never read any Guardians of the Galaxy, so I'm still getting used to...
Well, the original Guardians of the Galaxy weren't them. I mean, they were like Charlie whatever and Vance Astro and a lot of other characters that I think sure. they're gonna mention in this movie somehow. I think I've heard rumor that they would have do the original. Well,
Yondu the Birdman is supposed to be in the movie.
Yeah, are you Luke? Do you own the first appearance of Rocket Raccoon? Isn't he in the Hulk?
He is, but I don't own that one.
Too bad.
That's a really worth time to sell it.
I know. Seriously.
Yeah, it's a lot more now than it was like 6-7 years ago.
Even the little mini he has is going for some bucks.
How much?
I think it was. Well, I never saw the final price, but the one I saw was up to like 25.
I have that.
There you go. Four comics that you probably paid 75 cents or a dime.
Yeah,
dimes like all day. That was probably in your.
It's
probably when you were carrying those two long boxes to your car, and you had Rocket Raccoon in there.
I had like three copies of each of them in there, or like seven copies of each. Three, some weird shit like that. Those boxes always get you somehow.
Nobody would have ever thought that a raccoon would be causing such a stir.
No.
Yes, I would have thought it would be a throwaway character, personally. But when Abnett and Lanning, started writing it, that changed my mind. I never read the original stuff, though, so I can't comment on it.
I should read that. I have them. I just haven't. I've never read it.
Yeah. Well, Micah, what you been reading? You've had like 4 weeks to.
Yeah,
you must have read at least one comic.
Well, that's 6 weeks. It's been a long time.
I've been reading a lot of comfort stuff mostly, though. So, like things I've talked about on the show before. Like I've read I read a good chunk of Usagi Yojimbo, but like because I have that Ultimate Edition, right? So I read a bunch of that. I read a bunch of Walt Simonson's Thor run. Because I've been busy and stressed, and I didn't have time for, like, digging through and, like, reading things that might suck. So I went with things I knew were going to be good and relaxing. So definitely did a good bit of that. I also read the first series of Damage Control, which I actually hadn't read before.
I hear that's going to be Marvel's next movie.
Think it will actually happen?
I don't know. I doubt it.
I mean, if they're going to go comedies, I guess.
Yeah. It'll work.
I really like Damage Control. Like
did Dwayne McDuffie write that one?
Yeah, he did. He's done all the Damage Control, I think.
Cool.
Yeah, he did the first two volumes. And I think he even did the Hulk miniseries. World War Hulk tie. I don't remember which one. Yeah, World War Hulk tie-in.
Oh, okay.
I believe he wrote that as well. So yeah, I think Damage Control was always damage control was always written by him until they do a new one. So yeah,
and had the same artist too, except for the first issue. Yeah,
yeah. Ernie Colon did everything but the first one.
Kyle Baker did the first one on the volume 3.
Yep. But yeah, damage control. The book. I mean, it's a silly premise to begin with. Whatever, like following around this company that cleans up after superheroes have these big fights, but it's a lot sillier than I even thought it was going to be. Like, it's just lampooning a lot of things that are going on, like in the Marvel Universe. Like the first issue, Spider-Man and the Avengers, Spider-Man, Thor, and someone else are fighting this giant robot from the Tinkerer. And, like, it falls down in the middle of the city. And basically, the new account manager is his first day on the job. And it's just hijinks with them trying to figure out how to get the robot out of the way. And Spider-Man is trapped inside of the robot. And they keep doing shit to try to open him up, get Spider-Man out of it. And it causes Spider-Man more troubles. And, like, that's basically how the entire series goes. Like, the last issue... like issue 4, they end up going to Professor X because something goes wrong in the school. The danger room breaks, and so they go there to try to fix something up. And they end up having like this giant, they get locked in the danger room, and the danger room is taken over by clowns or something. And so like it's throwing pies at them and capturing them with silly string and like hitting them with like spring boxing gloves. And so it's basically like a 20-page danger room fight, but all with silly outcomes. And Wolverine gets hit in the face with a pie. And it's funny. So yeah, that was really good. I know I read... What else did I read? I read something else that I hadn't read before. And of course, my brain is completely shut off.
Are you still on track to go to Japan, like, in the summer?
Seems like
or?
It. Yeah. No, it would be in August, September, somewhere in that range.
Ah.
Yeah, I thought it was earlier.
Oh, no, I had to get all this stuff done. Like, there's all this lead-up. So, like, you had to do this application, you had to do all this other stuff. But, like, the semester, like, I would leave sometime... in August, I think, but the semester doesn't start until September. But you have to go a few weeks before the semester starts to do all this orientation stuff and then get your housing set up and all, like, move into wherever you're going to live. And
to get your heads back on straight.
Yeah. They want you there so that you cannot freak out whenever you
are. Yeah, it's going to take a couple of weeks just to adjust.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to lay on the floor for a while and nap.
Watch Lost in Translation a couple times.
I'd rather not.
I love that movie. Scarlett Johansson!
Now there's someone who has not aged a day in her entire career.
She is great.
I watched, what was it, The Man Who Wasn't There? That black and white Coen Brothers movie she did?
Yeah. I don't even know that one existed.
It was like one of her really early roles. She was like 19 years old. Then literally the next day I went to go see The Avengers, and she looked like she hadn't aged a day in 11 years.
She's a vampire like Rob Lowe.
She might be.
Special effects.
Well, she looks much different like in Ghost World to me than she does today. Not her face, not her face structure, but just the way she looks.
She was in Ghost World?
Yeah.
Huh.
She also has a great singing voice. So I bought one of her CDs with... That was good stuff.
Wasn't she like a child actor?
Yes.
Let's see, Manny and Lowe. Yeah, she was in Manny and Lowe.
Yeah.
The what?
Yep.
What's that?
Is that a Canadian show I'm supposed to be aware of?
She was in Home Alone 3, too.
Unfortunately.
That's the only Home Alone I don't remember.
You don't remember three and
I remember one and two very fondly.
Well,
like
Macaulay Culkin, it's a different kid for three, and it's a whole different whatever. Like three and four are not even worth watching. Don't worry about it.
I thought three was still Macaulay Culkin. It was not.
No.
So Bill, go ahead, Norbert.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Oh.
No, I don't know Home Alone 3 either. I was just reminded that I was talking to some friends back in school, and this was the early 90s, and Home Alone had just come out, and you know, Kevin Costner was very popular at the time, and he had done Dances with Wolves and all that. And then Home Alone 2 had come out, and that was, the kid named Kevin. And, in German, it was always called Kevin Home Alone. And we'd found out that people who had just had a baby at the time, and it was a boy, and a lot of them were called Kevin. I keep saying that, like, that generation that was born in the early 90s, if they're a Kevin, you know, it's probably because their parents watched Kevin Costner or Macaulay Culkin.
That is interesting.
I don't know if you admit that you're named after the kid in Home Alone.
Yeah. And my sister wanted to name her son, was it Jean-Luc, for Jean-Luc Picard. But she changed her mind, and he's now called Robin.
Nice.
After
Batman and Robin.
I was joking about it on Facebook one day. I said I have two people very close, who are called Robin and Alfred.
Batman loving family. That's good.
The whole family is like Jason, Tim. Dick. So, Bill, what do you got? Did you read that Revenge?
No.
Damn it!
No, I did.
I was gonna chew your ass up.
Yes, Revenge. Where do we find it? From Image Comics, Revenge number one, written by Jonathan Ross and art by Ian Churchill. This is a very tame, family-friendly tale.
Children-friendly, is that what you said? Yeah, very much in the vein of Crossed.
Just like Crossed. Well, let's see. The opening scene is this guy getting his face cut off and peeled off by a doctor. Nice. So it's the story of a aging actor who, when he was, I think it was when he was younger, right? He starred in a movie called, it was either Revenge or The Revenger or something like that.
Yeah, Revenger.
And then I don't think it was a big hit, but it has come back, I guess, in recent years, so they did a remake.
Think of an Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he was a B-film dude. And then he came back and did another film based on one of his B films, and it was a hit.
Right. Yeah, because over time, his B film has gotten a lot of cult following, so they brought out this new version, and he's this big star now. But he finds out that he's going to get written out of the next one, and this new up-and-coming actor is going to take over the main role. So his fourth younger wife, of course, encourages him to go get this experimental plastic surgery down in Mexico.
That always ends well.
And then everything goes crazy.
The twist is his wife hates him. She's the one that's out for revenge because she was the daughter of one of, I guess he used to be married or had an affair with her mom. So she's out to get revenge and then took him to this back street. Well, this guy's actually pretty smart. He's really good with plastic surgery because he like knows exactly what amount of drugs to use to keep him alive. She wants him to experience the most possible pain and be conscious while it's happening and not have him go under. So he's like administering enough drugs, but not to make him pass out. Just to paralyze him so he can't do anything, and pull his face off, and then pull off all of his fingertips and place them on another dude so he could act like her husband. And then he could get rid of the prenup so she can be rich. But god dang, it's awesome.
And the art by Ian Churchill is good. It's a I don't know, is this similar to he seems to keep changing his style, like depending upon the book he's working on.
Yeah, it's not like the Ocean. What was the one he did? The
Ocean Man or whatever.
Yeah, that was very like a animated cartoon type look. Mm-hmm. This one's more of a realistic type approach.
This is almost more of like a detailed like Avatar look almost.
Yeah, it does. There's a lot of nudity in this. His wife was a porn actress, his current wife that's seeking out revenge. But he had like four or five wives. And yeah, I don't know. It was surprising. I didn't expect this. I really didn't. It's definitely a keeper. I'm interested. What did you think, Bill? Are you... You want to see what happens, or are you issue one and done?
I thought it was an interesting setup to see now how he's going to get his revenge after all this happens. So
his movie like made billions of dollars, but his sequel that they were already planning for, they were already saying that they weren't going to use him because he's already like 72. So he's already like 72, and they were just going to use him as a cameo in the sequel.
Yeah, I think I think it's one of those things where he'll be in the beginning of the second one, where they introduce his son in the movie, and then his son will be the main star from that point on.
Right, and that's why his wife is just egging him on. Maybe if you look younger, you could get more parts and stuff. And she takes him to Mexico, and that was a bad idea.
The words plastic surgery and Mexico rarely end up well together. They are not chocolate and peanut butter.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jonathan Ross, did you hear the bullcrap that happened to him this weekend?
No.
He was supposed to host like the World Science Fiction Awards, like this major event in the sci-fi community. And when people found out, they basically like, oh, he's not a real science fiction fan. He's just some fake celebrity, blah, blah, blah. Basically, they bullied him out of hosting the thing.
Wow.
Yeah, which is utter
That's been happening. That's been happening a lot lately.
I know. It's
like
it's,
there was this the guy from the actor from Sons of Anarchy that kind of looks like Heath Ledger was trying for a part, and it was like a woman's novel or something.
50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, and they bullied him out.
Yeah, I know. That's mean and nasty, just messed up. I mean, first of all, setting aside the fact that Jonathan Ross is actually a huge science fiction, fantasy, comic book nerd, and actually a pretty nice guy as far as celebrities. So even if he wasn't, screw you.
Yeah.
And who's doing this? The fans?
Yeah, like some fans of like basically, yeah, science fiction fans.
Mm-hmm. So just putting pressure on the producers or whatever.
No, they just went to Twitter and just bullied the guy until he decided to bow out.
What else has he done in comics?
Turf, America's Got Powers. He was going to do another series with Tommy Lee Edwards, but they had a falling out.
Was Turf the vampire one?
Yeah, the vampire, aliens, gangster one.
Yeah. That was his first one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I will say his writing has improved since then. I remember reading Turf, and it was very... heavy on the dialogue and exposition.
Yeah.
And this one's still heavy on the dialogue, but he's cut down on the exposition, so it's better.
Also, when Eric Martin passed away a few years ago and the Geek Syndicate guys put together that fundraiser for his daughter.
Yeah.
Jonathan Ross donated an original Werewolf by Night page for that auction.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
It was like the big ticket item. I don't remember if it was autographed too. I don't remember if it was autographed by him or by like the guy who drew it, but it was a signed page too.
Cool.
What else you got, Bill?
What else do I have? Okay, I have one from Dynamite Comics, Badass number one.
That was the only Dynamite I didn't buy.
It's the Mike Myers story, though.
Yeah, Badass. That's why I didn't buy it. I already knew it.
I've already read this. Now, I guess this was originally a French book, whatever that term is, Bande Dessinée or whatever, written by Enrique Anna and art by Bruno Bassadi. It's kind of like a, Mike, you probably didn't read it because it's kind of like a Deadpool type character, where it's kind of a parody of superheroes with this guy who has these awesome powers. It seems to be his power, or one of his powers anyway, is kind of like that dude in Hero where he could like throw a coin through the air and it like bangs off all the walls and then hits the dude in the temple and kills him. That type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in this book, he is going after this mob boss who is a, I can't remember what the guy's name is, but he's a dragon. I can't remember what his name was. So he breaks in and he ends up kicking everyone's ass in the building. And they tell some of his past, but it was really good. And I really like the art as well. So I thought it was a fun read. And I didn't find the character to be as annoying as Deadpool. So I recommend it. It was funny.
Oh, I might have to check that out because it's Dynamite.
Yeah, don't you trust your Dynamite?
Well, I read the solicitation and it had the word Deadpool in it. It really did.
Pass.
It really did, yeah.
And I read, oh, here we go. I'll do this one. Punisher. I'll do a Marvel comic. I know, shocking. Punisher number one, the new one from Nathan Edmondson and Mick Gerards. And I know, Mike, you read this, right?
I read number one and two.
There's a number two? No.
Yeah, I caught up.
So this is, I only read the first one, obviously, but so this is a new Punisher series, and I always get the Punisher number ones just to check them out because I like the character. And I've liked some of what Nathan Edmondson's done. I really liked this. I liked the take on the story in this. It's kind of following him. Not surprisingly, it's him going after a drug cartel. But there's an added kind of background thing going on where there's a mercenary group who's trying to find the Punisher at the same time that he's going after this cartel. So I liked it.
Well, you know what the mercenary group is? The Howling Commandos.
Yep, Howling Commandos.
That's freaking awesome.
So I liked it. I enjoyed it.
What I'm really digging in that is the supporting cast. Like, he goes into that cafe or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And there's that cop that he always talks to and the guy who owns the cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got also a handler or something that they introduce an issue to. They're really building his, like, supporting cast to be pretty freaking awesome. Like, I like what they're doing there. And it's like a Punisher that is in between the Max line. Like, it's not quite like a Max Punisher, but it's inside the superhero universe. So Yeah, it's good. The art's nice too, didn't you think?
Yeah, there it was real good. And I liked how the story was. It's not like the Punisher's this guy who can do anything and doesn't get hurt. It was more down to earth kind of story about him. And I like when he went out into the desert in an RV, and it reminded me of Breaking Bad.
that reminded me of Breaking Bad too. And the cafe.
You guys are taking pointers for your future lives of crime. Step one, get flip phones that you can snap in half. Step two, drive in the desert.
And one of the bad guys looks like Danny Trejo in this.
I noticed that too.
And he found the ring, which reminded me of Breaking Bad.
With his head on a tortoise. What else?
I read Loki number one.
Oh, yeah, I read that one too.
From Boom Studios. First off, how awesome is the cover of this thing?
I don't remember saying the cover and saying that's an awesome cover. Let me revisit it.
It's an awesome cover.
Let me look that up.
Well, there's several covers.
Well, the...
Yours have him holding a sword?
Mine has him holding the guitar. Axe guitar.
Oh, you're not talking about the Marvel Loki?
I said Boom Studios.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about the Boom one. I'm confused. I thought you were talking about Agent of Asgard. What is the title on that one? Loki what?
Loki Ranker Rock and Roll. Ragnarok and Roll. Yeah, so this is from Boom, so it's the Norse Loki, not the Marvel Loki.
Oh, I see. And he's a rock star in that.
Yeah, so in this one, the story is that it starts out where he's in Asgard with Odin and Thor. And he goes with Thor to the Frost Giants to negotiate. They go on a diplomatic mission to negotiate something, and then Thor ends up killing all of them. So then they come back, and there's a big controversy. Oh, there's one cool scene where they have like all the Thor has all the gods over from different religions. So there's Hercules, and there's Ganesh and Cthulhu and Horus. And they even have the flying spaghetti monster. I thought that was pretty funny. As one of the gods at the table. And so there's this big controversy, and Thor, and rather than get Thor in trouble, because Thor is great and can do no wrong, Odin decides to punish Loki instead. So his punishment is that he gets sent to Earth to purgatory. They call it purgatory. And he comes to Earth and he's like, oh man, last time I was here, I hated it. But when he first comes down, he meets some like rock chick, and he's like, oh, maybe this place isn't so bad. And he goes into a rock club and sees the way the audience treats the singer of the band on stage. And he's like, oh, they're worshiping this guy. This is awesome. So of course he decides that he wants to join a band. So that's kind of where it, well, then it kind of jumps to, a couple of years later, and Loki is this like rock star now. So that's where the next issue is going to take off from. So it's Loki is now the a rock star on Earth, which seems a likely thing that he would do. Yeah, because he gets to perform and have people worship him. So,
I mean, that's what Hiddleston does.
Touche.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I just have a fondness for Boom Studios because they did that excellent run of Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, I never read that, but I always wanted to.
It's really good.
I gotta check it out someday. Hopefully the trades are still in print.
I doubt it.
They lost the Disney license like
three years ago.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Maybe there's some on the black market still.
I could probably get it. So this was written by Eric M. Esquivel,
Scribble.
Who did Freelancers?
I liked Freelancers.
Yeah, so the writing's good. I enjoyed the writing in it. And then I have one last one. Oh, I got two last ones. First, a quick one. I finished reading Hip Hop Family Tree Volume 1. And I recommend it. If you ever wanted to know the history of hip hop, this is a good way to learn it via comics.
I saw a ton of the original pages for that. They were hanging up like the Columbus Museum of Art back last spring when I was there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And I don't know if I mentioned it last time. The book itself is like huge. I'm not sure what the dimensions of it were, but it's really big. In my library, it was in the oversized section. But it's good. You get to learn a lot. And then it makes you want to go on YouTube and...
Sounds like you have a good library, like bands. A really good one. You could get most any comic, and then you get all your DVDs from there.
Yeah, I know. I don't have to spend any money.
And you don't spend any money.
It's the joy of the big city living.
It is nice. Yeah, we do have a... That's what I always said. It's like, I don't know who at my library is picking the comics, but they have good taste.
You could give them a shout-out on Geek Brunch.
And then my last one, this is actually it wasn't a Kickstarter. I think it was an Indiegogo. What is it, Indiegogo? Is that the other one? Yeah, Indiegogo, yep. Book. It's called Shark Pony and the Glitter Riders by Sarah Elkins. So this is one that I just kind of saw and it looked interesting, so I decided to get it. And it's just a single issue, the first issue. Mike, you wouldn't like it because the art's kind of like manga-esque. But it's kind of like a parody of like My Little Pony. Like Shark Pony is obviously kind of like a My Little Pony parody. And then the Glitter Riders are like a parody of, I don't know, Sailor Moon or something. Something like that. But it's about these three... Well, there's these three dudes who want to steal a ship from Area 51. So they put an ad on Craigslist for a pilot. And they get this kind of crazy guy. And then they go flying into outer space. And... they run into the boob of this to the breast of this like space woman, goddess woman, this giant space woman, and she finds out from their and she wants to recruit them, but she finds out that they're guys, and she says that won't do, so she turns them all in, she turns them into women, and she turns the driver into Shark Pony, who is half shark, half pony. So he's a shark with pony legs, basically, and a rainbow tail. And he's the best character in it because he just eats everyone. So the rest of the story is these guys who are now girls trying to figure out what happened and why they're girls. And now they have this shark pony. So when people attack them, they're about to go to jail, but then Shark Pony just eats the person. That's good. It was funny. And I like supporting stuff like that because it's just like a self-published type thing. So hopefully she'll do more of, she'll continue the series because I enjoyed it. It was funny.
Cool deal. I'll have to go look and see the art, just see if I hate it. So I have a few. One Hit Wonder, which has a premise very much like Revenge, at least it has the Hollywood connection, is there's this one is a, instead of being an actor that was a B-list actor and made a hit, this was a childhood actor that never became popular as an adult, and he was like the Mikey in the Mikey Likes It Life commercials kind of kid. And he later became a hitman, and he's inside of Hollywood, and he doesn't like hide who he is. I don't know how he gets away with it, but
I read this too, and that was the one thing I because he just like kills people like on camera.
Yeah,
stuff.
Well, I didn't even know what I was getting into, and he's like, he's on screen with this psychiatrist, and they're filming it, and he just pulls out a gun. I thought it was part of the screenplay,
right?
And he just shoots him up, kills him, and then takes off. And then he's got like this guy that calls him and gives him his next assignments, and he assigned the creative team. Is Ariel Oliveri on art and Fabrice Sapolsky, and I don't know who that is. Haven't heard of it before. But it sounds like you didn't like it, Bill, but I did. I thought it was pretty cool.
I didn't like the character. He's just a dick.
Well, he is a dick, but he kind of... He's that way. He goes and assassinates people, and then he goes after some woman... And she ends up capturing him, and it looks like he's gonna get his face pulled off. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. I like the art.
Yeah, if you ever wanted to see naked women drawn by Ariel Olivetti, here's your chance.
Here's your chance. Yeah. You get to see.
Never get another one.
You get to see women kiss. But I liked it. I thought it was good. I didn't like it as much as Revenge. Like, if I had a choice, I would definitely pick Revenge for story and art over the other one. Mm-hmm. And then I read White Suits from Dark Horse. This is Frank Barbieri and Toby Cypress on art. And this is... I think people would like it if they like 100 Bullets. It's very much in that kind of vein. At least so far it is. It's like a cross between 100 Bullets and Memento, because there's one guy who just can't freaking remember who he is. Like, he has no clue. He's wearing a white suit. He's one of these guys that kills these gangsters, but he doesn't remember who he is. And there's a woman there that's hiring him or getting his help, and she'll give him his past if he helps her. So, yeah. I'd recommend that if you like 100 Bullets. Or the art style's really, really strange. It's definitely abstract. I think Bill would like it.
I haven't done it right yet. It looked like the artwork kind of reminded me of like Jim Mahfood.
Yeah, I can see that.
Did any of this run in Dark Horse Presents?
Yes.
Okay, so I
there's like a, this is not a reprint. It's like, but it's a continuation of that.
Yeah, okay. I don't read Dark Horse Presents, but I buy a lot of the content from creators and stuff that I want to read. You know.
Uh huh.
So I read a lot of Dark Horse Presents, but just not in the anthology format.
Gotcha.
Because I don't know if I'd like it like that. I'm not sure because. I think there's some stories that I like and some that I don't, and $8 on that book seems a lot. If they didn't package it the way they do, Luke, I probably would invest in it. Do you know what I mean? But uh-huh. I know that 90% of what's in Dark Horse Presents end up in their own minis or one-shots.
Yeah, well, they are going to start in May. They're going to finish off the current format, and in July they're going to start with a new number one, and they're going to do like 48 page issues for like $4.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they was just recently announced.
How many pages is it now?
Like 80. 80 for $8.
So we're just going to cut it down, make it.
Yeah.
I really like. Them the idea though of taking an anthology and reprinting it as individual issues, because obviously people will get paid for their anthology and then they'll get paid again, I would think.
Yeah, but at the same time it cuts down on a lot of people buying the anthology because they're like, well, I'll just get the issue zero when it comes out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't think Dark Horse Presents, though, sells at least 10,000 copies, and for being an $8 book, I think that's fairly good.
Yeah.
So it must have a following. I read Nancy, A Dragon in Hell from Amigo Comics.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
And I liked this because I thought it was in canon of the Nancy series as well as the Dragon series. So it had the Savage Dragon's son in here. Mm-hmm. And he's fighting a pig nun, which is very unusual. She's got like these sexy legs, but then she has the pig hoofs. And then she's got like the nun cowl and then a snoot like a pig. And he's fighting her in the what is the current continuity of the Savage Dragon, but then she takes him to hell, and that's where he meets Nancy and Lucifer. And it's I thought it was a pretty cool one-shot. And it also paid tribute to people that read Savage Dragon. It had that – there was a real controversial cover of Savage Dragon that had this, like, fat lady with the babies – connected to the umbilical cords hanging out over, and she would like ski glide on them and stuff. I don't know, it was
what
just
the hell.
She's in this series, so it like used that villain character in here too. I'll see if I can post that figure. It's pretty cool, but I like that.
Yeah, and I like the art a lot too. It was Enrique Laurent. Lorenzana. Zana.
Yeah, in the cover, I don't know if he did the cover. Did he do the cover?
Looks like it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. If he did the cover, it's very like Grindhouse film to it. It looks like the cover to a movie of a Grindhouse movie. So it looks fantastic. I read Winter Soldier number one from Marvel Comics. That was really good, even though it didn't really feature the Winter Soldier. It had like Nick Fury and another agent going into Castle Hydra, and they made a wager like who would get in there first and stop them. And it was it felt like an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic, like from old, and I really liked it. And they do bring in Winter Soldier towards the end, and he fights with Nick Fury, which I was a little confused with. Like, does he have another agenda? That is he working for the Soviets now again, or what happened? That did anybody read Winter Soldier, the last series? I was wondering if anybody knew how he ended up. I know he's in the New Invaders because I'm reading that, but that seems to be out of canon or on its own. I don't know how he got to be fighting against Nick Fury. But the artist is Boshai, and God, he draws a sexy woman. God, he does a good job. I love his art style. And it's by Rick Remender, who's doing a kick-ass job, at least I think so, on Captain America. He's like taking eras of Captain America and writing it in his own style. Like, his first arc was very Kirby-esque, like when Kirby was doing Cap. And then this next arc, it feels like a Mark Grenwald Captain America story. And I really dig it. And what else do we got? I finished Painkiller Jane by Palmiotti and Gray. That was really, really good. And I love the art by Santa Cruz. He's really good artist. And what else? I just want to say I caught up on Green Lantern, and the storyline is, while I'm enjoying it, Hal is just making such damn stupid decisions. It just frustrates me that he's the leader and nobody is fighting him on it. Like, I want Kilowog to punch him in the face and say, "What the hell are you thinking?" Because he's kind of declaring war on all ring holders, because if you're part of the emotional spectrum, they found out that as the rings deplete energy, the universe is going to be destroyed. So it's depleting energy from the universe, and it'll eventually kill the universe. But yet he's using his rings to go after other ring bearers and take them out using these ring bearers. And he decides to go against this planet. One of them is a Star Sapphire, and he goes after this character. And she she comes from a culture and a planet of smugglers, thieves, and it's almost like a gangster world. And she's a Starfire because she loves her people so much and her culture. And he decides to go after her, and the whole world turns against the Green Lanterns. And they have a shapeshifter amongst them, and they pretty much broadcast Hal's agenda to the entire universe, and then the universe turns against the Green Lantern Corps. So it's like the Green Lantern Corps is wanted now by the entire universe. So they're going to probably pick him off. But Hal is like dumb decision after dumb decision after dumb decision. It's just, God.
Maybe he's been taken over by Parallax.
That I was hoping so. I was hoping that he was, because I want that to be the case, because I love DC. But the one thing that DC didn't do good with Green Lantern is they kind of said that everything is brand new except for Batman and Green Lantern. So some of the Batman stuff and the Green Lantern stuff is in canon, like pre-52, but they didn't really tell you everything. And if you go by that, Hal is very heroic, and he's also a pretty good leader. And then they kind of, like, devolved him in the New 52 since issue one came out. And he's actually the worst of the four popular Green Lanterns, in my opinion.
It's weird how, like, they brought back Hal Jordan because Geoff Johns is such a fanboy of the guy. And then, like, while he was writing the character, he decided he liked Sinestro better and started making Sinestro the best Green Lantern ever.
You got it. You got my exact problem with him. And that was okay, but Sinestro made him look embarrassing. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He, like, Hal, you were going to save this one woman when you could save the entire bridge. And then he also made him a... Carol, can I borrow some money? Because I can't even buy a car or whatever. You know what I mean? He is just, can you give me a job? And he came out as a leech and not as a heroic. And then he's just, even with the latest arc with the one villain, he made some bad decisions with the rookie. He was using the ring's energy when the ring's energy was actually helping the guy they were fighting. And it's like Kyle had to like slap him in the face, and so did Guy. And he did bad decisions with Guy Gardner, making him become a Red Lantern to try to go undercover, even though it could cost him his soul. I mean, it's just, God, he's awful. So I hope there's some shapeshifter or something is acting like Hal, because he's not the greatest Green Lantern.
He sounds a lot like the Hal Jordan from, I guess, like with the third volume, the beginning of volume 3.
Where he had white hair?
Yeah.
That's when he was drinking and going around the world?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he was just a total douchebag and completely unlikable.
Sounds like you have a sunny day, Micah.
It's awesome. Awesome outside. We got birds. Yeah. You know.
I got snow on the ground. I don't hear any birds.
We're just happy it's not snowing today. Oh, God.
The thing is, it's like 70 degrees today, but it's going to be like 40 degrees tomorrow. So.
Yeah, well, it's like 35 here today, and it's going to be like 20 tomorrow. And
yeah, that's why I moved down south.
I should
have gone further south, honestly. It's not hot enough.
I should move to the tropics, like I keep talking about.
Do you miss touring the world, or?
Good Lord, yes. Oh man, being in the same place every day is so weird.
So it kind of changed your life.
Yeah. It took me 2.5 months, literally, to get used to not being on the road every day. Like, it was weird to be home in one city every day.
Yeah.
It's like when you go on vacation and you come home and you're like, this is weird.
Yeah.
What a 4-month vacation.
Yeah, I don't like to think of it as a vacation so much as I was on the road discovering America and myself.
It was a life experience.
Exactly. And I wrote a travelogue while I was away, too, so...
Did you find yourself? Are you changed?
Yeah, well, I found I really don't like sitting in one place anymore, especially not Connecticut.
Well, that's going to be hard to find a job where you travel all the time.
You got to work on one of those documentary crews that do those really silly TV shows about America.
You know, yeah, that's should. What you need. Or you need to work for the Food Network where they travel all over.
I see. I have plenty of options available here. I just, you know, I have to.
Yeah, getting those jobs is probably a lot harder, though.
Yeah. But I could be just like, listen, you want to hire me because I can sleep in a van and I don't need a lot of food.
Oh, I do have. I have two quick comics, and this is quick ones that you talked about, Mike, and I have got around to reading. And I agree with your assessment on both of them. Twilight Zone by Straczynski, awesome.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
The number one issue was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think if you like the TV show, then you'll like this. It was really well done.
Don't you think that it was done in such a way that it could be the ending, but it's continued? Do you know what I mean?
You like, remember the...
The ending was like he changed his...
Oh, yeah, because he escaped. Yeah.
And then it just shows a clip of... He sees himself on TV and he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you could. It was well done. It was a really good story.
Yeah.
And I read Turok number one. I don't know what the hell happened there.
Is there a new Turok?
Yes, there is.
Again, they're gonna keep trying it until it works.
I was so disappointed with that one.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just not. I didn't understand half of the stuff that was going on.
I didn't either. And
I gotta try it.
And the backgrounds were just killing me. It was like an artistic foreground with like a Photoshop background. It was driving me insane.
Yeah. And I think the art itself, it looked nice, but there were some scenes where it was just like, I didn't really know what happened. Like, they'll be talking, and then there was one scene where he was talking, and then, like, I can't remember if he got stabbed or a foot stomped on him or something, and then it jumped to something else, and you didn't see who did it or what was going on, and I don't know. It was, yeah. I don't know what happened, Greg Peck.
I have confidence that it's going to change. It was a terrible first issue. I think I'm going to like it eventually. I'll let you know. I know you're a number one, and then wait for trade. But I'll tell you if it turns around.
Yeah, they're bringing back that and Solar and Magnus.
Dr. Spectrum.
They've tried this a few times. Good luck.
Yeah, Dynamite's giving it a shot now.
Good luck. Doesn't seem to stick around for a while. Too long. All right.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a big following on those characters anymore. I am, because I'm a Valiant fan and I'm also a Goldie fan, so
I wonder if part of the problem is that in order to get to the fan base of those characters, you have to have the book stay around long enough to rebuild it, but you can't make enough profit in the time period you have to get that fan base to show up.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have to have the book be around for 2 or 3 years, and then somebody would be like, oh shit, that book is good and still around. Maybe I'll check it out. But instead, they only get, you know.
Although, like,
how long did Dark Horse have it?
I think a little over a year.
Yeah.
I think they only came out with 6 issues of Solar, 4 issues of Magnus or something like that, a couple of Turok and some Samson stories.
Yeah.
I wonder if it would have done well if Valiant had gotten the licenses.
I don't know, because as much as I love Valiant, like, I just love it, they're not selling well. I mean, if 10,000 copies is good, I guess that's where they want to settle down. I mean, they're consistently selling. I mean, that's good at 10,000 copies, but...
I mean, if your budget is aligned so that you can make a profit off of 10,000 books and that's all you need to keep going, that's And you can continuously do that. That's good.
Yeah, I just don't know what their overhead is, like,
I have no idea.
What everybody gets paid, or if they're not getting paid and they just love the character so much, they're just taking it, or I don't know. Because they got good creators. I mean, they're not being cheap on who they're hiring to write or draw.
Some of the best.
Yeah. So it's like those guys can't be cheap. I don't know. Just a couple of a little more shout outs. New Warriors number one I liked a lot. That was good. Matter of fact, I wasn't planning on buying it, but I added it to my list. All-Star Western was fantastic, as Jonah Hex was in Current Time. Ran across Swamp Thing and Constantine and Superman and hooked up with some babe on his chopper, and she's kind of like the personality of Tallulah Black, and I don't know. He ends up drinking and driving and getting in a car accident, and he has a lot of money because he found a lot of gold where he knew was hidden, and he's in a coma for many, many months, and this woman kind of takes care of him daily with the nurses there. And they nurse him back to health, and they give him reconstructive surgery, so he looks like Clint Eastwood now. He's not scarred up anymore. And then Booster Gold comes back, and he's like, "I can take you back. Do you want to go back?" And he's like, "Hell yeah! I hate it here." And Booster Gold takes him back along with Gina, who's his new girl, and drops him in the middle of it looks like a canyon, which is Apache territory, and he starts speaking Apache to the Native Americans, and they're like, he's like, "I'm Jonah Hex," you know, and they go, "No, you're not. You don't have a scar," and they look like they're gonna kill him. They're like, "Let's kill him and take the woman." So that was a crazy ending. It was good. That's stuff.
Strange storyline.
It is so awesome. I mean, it's my favorite. It's my favorite DC book that's ongoing.
And not canceled.
And not canceled yet, but it was just a rumor. Close. But hopefully the sales are shitty on that book too, but they always have been. You know what I mean? Jonah Hex went forever, and it never had good sales. So as long as maybe they're consistent, I don't know if they're looking at it's different in the genre, and they'll keep it because there's nothing else like it. There's not too many Westerns out there. I can't even name another.
There's Real West from Monkey Brain.
Okay, there you go.
That's about it.
That's a digital one.
Yeah, and it's an anthology.
And there's a there's like Lone Ranger from Dynamite.
Yeah, I was going to say Dynamite.
They do some Westerns occasionally, but the other one is Dynamite's The Spider by David Liss. Man, it was freaking awesome. I loved it. He's a lot like the Shadow, but the storyline is so complex and the characters that he introduced are so wacky that it happened in Current Time. Having this pulp character in Current Time was really interesting, and I really enjoyed the journey, and that issue's ending one final issue and it's all over but the crying, and I'll never see the spider again for a while. But Dynamite goes through phases. Like, they had a real big pulp phase, you know, with the Spider, Shadow, and Miss Fury, and a bunch of other pulp characters, Tarzan, and they still got John Carter, which they keep inventing in new minis. So I hope they keep the pulp characters there, but now they're going into their Gold Key phase. And before that, they were in their Kirby phase, so I'm just moving along with them.
You see, they're bringing out that Chaos number one.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. I did read Evil Ernie, and I liked it, and I'll check out this one for sure.
This is all the female characters, right?
I'm really excited for Chake and Shadow. I'm like, really excited.
Oh, yeah, I saw that too, yeah.
I never got to experience Chake and Shadow until recently. I bought the back issues and I thought it was like so freaking good that I'm really stoked for this one.
Isn't Matt Wagner doing a 3-issue Grundle Shadow miniseries?
I don't know, but I'll jump all over it. Let because the Shadow I'm addicted to. Like I actually own I don't buy too much like original page stuff, and I have like two pages from The Shadow.
Yep, coming in 2014, written and drawn by Matt Wagner.
And Matt Wagner does a hell of a job. He's doing Shadow Year One.
Cool.
They got some good writers at Dynamite. Their art is like their steampunk thing was freaking awesome. I love that one. I'm a Dynamite plugger. I like Dynamite. And I just want to say Captain America by Rick Remender, I freaking love. I think I'm a Rick Remender. Like, a lot of people like the Hickman-like stuff. And if I had a choice, I'd pick Remender over Hickman easily. And both his independent and Marvel stuff. But that's just me. That's my tastes. I think that's all I had for comics. You guys want to jump into movies or TV?
Sure.
Let's start with Norbert. What kind of TV or movies are you watching these days?
I saw the Tarzan one at the theater. It was that Tarzan animated one.
Disney?
No,
it's a different one.
That's a different one. It's recent, and I remember it was originally meant to come out in October or something, and then they moved it to Christmas, and then that Christmas release didn't work out because there were too many other movies, and they eventually moved it to February, and I think it had a few bad reviews early on, and now, I went to see it when it opened, like on the Thursday it opened in Germany, and I was the only person there.
Wow.
It sold one ticket. But it was a fun movie. It was, I'd have to look up who produced it.
German movie?
It had German contributors. Like, I mean, I saw it with the German voices, but... Some of the animation was done in Germany.
In Germany.
Several countries.
Yeah.
Must have been.
It's called Tarzan: The Legend Starts Here. I don't know if it's it has Germany next to it, but I don't know if it's being released here at all.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was pretty entertaining. I'm a fan of the original Burroughs stuff. I like that as a novel, and I got the Lord of the Jungle comic and some of the earlier comics. This is an altogether different Tarzan. He's very young, and they decided to set it in modern day. So that was a big change. It's not like early 1900s. Or the 20s or whatever, it's actually present day. And then they had to give it a certain spin to make it believable that there is still an unexplored part of Africa, like in modern day. Like that was the catch of the Edgar Rice Burroughs stories. And then when they made movies in the 20s and 30s, I guess they could still say, well, this is terra incognita. This is no one has ever been in that part of the jungle, and they have these strange things in there. But anyway, in this one, it starts with a scene in outer space, and I thought I was in the wrong movie. why is there a meteor like floating through space? But that's part of the story because. The backstory is that there was like this huge spiky meteor, and it looks like something from how they make Krypton look like in the Superman movies, where everything's like spiky crystals.
Yeah,
it's like this black meteor with spiky stuff, and it's made of this like super super powerful mineral, and then it crashes on Earth, and this is like millions of years ago. And it crashes where, like, one day this will be Africa. And now it's embedded in a cave somewhere, deep underground, and there's this cave. And in present day, that's always guarded by monkeys. Like, for some reason, the monkeys are attracted to this meteor. And then somebody finds a splinter from that rare material, and they found out that this is a material that can give you electricity, and they can use like a small quantity of it to give electricity to a major city in the States. And then this corporation wants to explore it. And let's see, there's a scientist who basically just wants to help the animals. And they worked in all this Jane Goodall research, for the gorillas and the other apes, and they made the apes really nice and really relatable, like very human-like. But they don't talk. It's not a Disney thing with talking animals. So they can only do like ape noises. But Tarzan is a son of scientists. Both his parents are scientists. And when he's, I think, five, they have a helicopter accident. They all crash, and parents are dead, and he still survives the crash. And then the gorillas find him. And he has had this gorilla toy even before that. And he was always playing with a gorilla doll, and he had made up the name Tarzan by himself. He was just using his imagination. But then he is actually raised by the gorillas, and he learns to climb and swing around and do all that. And then later he meets this other scientist who's there basically to help animals and to build a reserve. And he is he's separated from his wife, the scientist, and he's got a daughter back home who is Jane Porter. And then later his daughter visits the father in the jungle where he's doing the research, and she's also an environmentalist, like a conservationist, and she's trying to do this fundraiser and get this big corporation to donate money to this nature preserve. But that's the same corporation that is trying to get that mineral from the meteor. So they have this sham where they basically say, well, yeah, we support your mission down there for the animals, but they really want to find the cave with the mineral. And that's how they cross paths with Tarzan. So it's part science fiction and part of a retelling, I think.
I think I want to see it just based on the reviews because they're so varying. Like, there's people that absolutely despise it, and then there's people that love it. So,
I wonder if it's what you're expecting going into it.
Well, it seems like one of the comments I read is they love the Disney Tarzan, and then this was not that. So I haven't watched the Disney Tarzan just because I'm not a huge Disney fan, but this one has my interest.
Yeah, it looks like it hasn't had any U.S. distribution. It'll probably be straight to video here.
Like, this person condemns it because it's not funny. Like, Tarzan wasn't funny. What the fuck is it? Like, when was Tarzan funny? I mean, I never laughed at Tarzan. I used to watch the old black and white films. I wasn't cracking up laughing.
Because there's only ever been one interpretation of Tarzan in the last century.
The Tarzan comic is really good. Lord of the Jungle. That was really good.
That's one modern day, the comic?
No, that's like 1900.
Yeah, something. It's past. But it moves around a lot. Like, it started off, in the when he was in the jungle, and then it went to like modern time. I mean, not modern time, but went away from the jungle and then brought his character back to the jungle. It was an interesting, I think it was 15 issues. Another comic I liked a lot from Dynamite that never seemed to catch on.
Well, so, I read a bit of the Deja Thoris by Dynamite, since you brought it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was originally Warlord of Mars, and then they made it Deja Thoris' series. That's not too surprising.
Well, they had it both going concurrently.
Mm-hmm.
They have Deja Thoris, I think, is more popular than John Carter because she gets the sexy covers. So they tend to focus their time on Deja Thoris instead of John Carter. Like, I think the sales numbers are just bigger.
Oops, silence.
I saw a movie.
What'd you see?
I saw Everything is Awesome.
You too?
Well, is this a current film or a Netflix or something?
I saw the Lego movie.
Oh, I thought Everything is Awesome is the Lego movie?
That's the theme song from it.
That's the theme song from the Lego movie.
Oh.
But just still stuck in my head. I saw it yesterday. It's good. They did a real good job with it.
Yeah, it's a funny. Really fun movie. It's at parts unashamedly a commercial, even though some folks I know from who work at Lego's main headquarters were saying that when Warner's took the license, one of the things was they can't just make a commercial. Lego said you can't just make a commercial for stuff.
Yeah.
But there are some points in it where it's so clearly a commercial for Lego.
I only noticed one part that was clearly – well, there's a couple, yeah. But there's one part where they have the main character and he's getting ready to go to work and he's trying on he tries on like a bunch of different outfits. It's like, okay, they only put that in so they can make figures for each of those outfits. Yeah.
And like when he meets all the other master builders, it's like all the characters from their other lines, like Gandalf and Dumbledore and Superman, the DC heroes. Yeah. No Marvel heroes, you may have noticed, but.
Oh, yeah.
It's because it's Warner Brothers, right?
That's exactly what it is.
If it was Disney, it would have been all Marvel characters, no DC.
However, they did manage to get Star Wars into there really briefly, so who knows?
That was funny as hell.
Yeah.
Star Wars and Legos have been together a lot longer than Marvel has, because Marvel was with Mega Bloks for the longest time.
Yeah. Also, the movie's good.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
The movie's been in production for like 6 years. They probably had that thing hammered out before Star Wars to Disney.
Right.
I've heard good things. Micah, have you seen that?
No, I've been wanting to, but
that sounds like a Micah movie.
It's up your alley, man. You gotta see it.
Oh no, I know I'll like it. I haven't been in the movie theater.
Do me a favor when you got Bill, can you go post on Daryl's wall how good the Lego movie is on YouTube, Luke? I'd appreciate that.
I'll go do that whenever I see it.
Yeah. Well, you should even do it right now just say, I saw the Legos movie, Daryl, and I think you should watch it. Just
it has Batman in it.
Yeah. Just tell him the interpretation of Batman is probably the best ever that you've ever seen.
That's actually not wrong.
Post it on his wall. He'll appreciate it.
He was a good Batman, though, because his attitude. Batman can do no wrong.
Sometimes I can't be tied down to a relationship where I'm just not allowed to go party with random strangers whenever I want. See ya, babe.
So I recommend that. This fight is very clever. They have a lot of real funny stuff in there.
Yeah.
And it's probably good for repeat watching is to see all the stuff they put in there.
Yeah. It's a hit, isn't it? Isn't it doing well?
Oh, it's doing huge.
God, it's a phenomenal hit. Good.
Yeah, like, I think that it's been out for several weeks now, and the theater I was in was packed.
It was number one for like 5 weeks in a row or whatever.
Yeah, the budget was like $60 million, and they made $65 on their first weekend. And it just kept going from there.
Internationally or was that just
domestic?
Just domestic.
Yeah.
They're at like 210 domestic right now, so they're good on money.
Yeah, and they've got a sequel locked in for 2017. I liked the ending too, or the towards the ending, Bill. You know what I'm talking about? Like kind of that unexpected.
Yeah, the twist. Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked that, and I really liked the message that they gave too with that whole scene.
Yeah, it all came together.
What's the message? I want to know what the message is.
That toys are for playing and using your imagination. I won't say in what context that comes in, but because it would super spoil a lot of the ending, so I really don't want to say more than that.
Yeah, it's good though. It's fun. And kids like it.
Anybody got any other movies?
I did also see one other one. I finally saw Gravity, Sandra Bullock in space movie.
That's Micah's pick of the year, I thought.
No, thank you.
It was good. I liked it. I don't like Sandra Bullock, but I liked it. And I need to watch the special features on the DVD just to see how they filmed all that stuff. Well, besides hanging in front of green screens. But I liked it. It was better than I thought it would be.
I only watched Linda Lovelace, the one that you talked about last time.
Yeah, feel good.
It wasn't anything like I expected. I got depressed after watching that. I was like, damn.
Was that yours or Daryl's choice?
That was mine. I wasn't expecting that at all. I didn't know the backstory of Deep Throat.
And did you like how they did it, though, where they like showed you one version for the first half and then flipped it to her version for the other half?
I couldn't believe all the actors they had in there, too. They had a lot of big names. A lot of names I recognize. And that was direct to DVD, wasn't it? I never hit anything or I never heard about it on TV.
I think it was in the theaters.
I never heard of it being in the theaters, but I don't know.
I don't think it probably didn't have a wide release, but
it was about a porn star.
All I will say is that her husband was an asshole. Like, if you wanted an awful husband, I know it was told from her perspective, but God dang, he was awful. Mm-hmm. And then the other statistic that's amazing is she only made like $1,200 off this damn movie, and it made billions worldwide. It's still making money today, and she didn't see any of it. And the other thing that was fascinating is I didn't know she just made one freaking movie. I mean, she had a couple of films with her husband that he filmed them having sex. But this, you know, they offered her Deep Throat 2, Deep Throat 3, and all kinds of other movies, and she just said no more. That was it.
It did open. It looked like it played for like 5 weeks. Probably, I don't know. Not a lot of screens. The most screen 118 was the widest it went.
Any other movies or TV for that matter?
I mean, go ahead, Micah.
All right, so I'm in this class that makes me watch all these strange movies or whatever, and so the most recent one we had to watch is a movie called Giants and Toys. It's a Japanese movie. It came out in 1958. And it's about this caramel company. It's a company that sells caramel, like caramel candy. And it's basically about their marketing firm and everything they have to do to try to stay afloat. And it's this sort of giant parody of sort of consumerism and television and marketing and all that kind of stuff. And it is easily the weirdest movie I've seen in like the past couple of years. And it's weird because it's like it's made in 1958, right? And all the sort of comedic bits are the kind of things that you see today. It's a lot of non sequiturs. It doesn't sit around to like explain anything. It hops from scene to scene, and it just goes like at 1,000 miles an hour. And it, like, from the second the movie starts, it doesn't ever let up. There's always something happening. There's always things moving. There's like no downtime at all ever. And it's really interesting to see a movie made then that kind of moves at that sort of frenetic pace. But it's also able to be followed, like, with any sort of, I don't know.
So there's a narrative?
Yeah, there's a narrative. It takes a while for you to figure out what the hell's going on, but once you get there, it's like, oh, I got it. But, yeah, it's, because, like, a lot of sort of abstract movies, like, art movies from, like, the 50s and 60s are just completely unwatchable. Like, a lot of the French stuff from that time period, like, you watch it, and you can tell that they're trying to critique something, but you don't know what they're critiquing, and there's just too much going on, and you have no idea what the hell's happening. But with this movie, you can at least have an idea of what's going on. So, yeah. Giants and Toys. Good luck finding it. And Godzilla's really good. And it's amazing.
The original?
The original Godzilla is really good, and Pacific Rim rips off scenes from that shit wholesale. Like, not just a little bit, like, wholesale. Like, in the movie, where they jump into the bottom of the water, like, that shit is straight out of Godzilla. Like, the entire scene, like beat for beat. Like, seriously, beat for beat, that scene at the end of Pacific Rim is Godzilla, right? Like, not even a joke. Like, the device they use to, like, do the thing at the end is there, like the suits, the diving into the water, like sacrifice, like all of it is in Godzilla. Like, that shit is, it's not an homage to Godzilla. That shit is pulled right out of it, right? Like,
yeah,
it's, I had no idea, honestly. I had no idea. And that's not the only scene either. There's a couple other scenes from that as well, but that's like the most stark example of holy shit, just pull it right the fuck out of the Godzilla.
That first Godzilla movie is a pretty bleak movie, isn't it?
It's really depressing, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially when you learn, like, exactly what happened beforehand. So, in, like, the early 1950s, America is doing all this nuclear testing, right? And so, if you're not familiar with what was going on exactly, they do this nuclear test, and they say that everything outside of a certain radius will be safe, right? And so, there's a fishing boat that's, like, 50, 60 miles away or whatever from where the test sighting is. Like, so they're nowhere within the range of what the range of the blast should be. And the blast goes off, and this Japanese vessel gets basically eradicated, like, just lit up in flames. And so Japan is, like, this happens, like, months before Godzilla comes out too, right? So they basically put that, like, the opening scene of Godzilla is, like, directly hearkening to the incident with this book called The Lucky Dragon. And so from there, it's all about, like, because this is not even 10 years after the end of World War II. And so this is very much anti-nuclear stance.
Godzilla is a stand-in for the nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
And there's some really just... There's just one scene where this mother is talking to her children, and like they're on like a it's like during Godzilla's attack, and
yeah,
she's like, "Don't worry, we'll be with your father soon enough." And
yep,
and it's like, "Well, what the hell?"
Yeah, that whole scene is really, really bleak.
It's a far cry from the later ones where he punches robots and giant moth monsters.
Yeah, there's Godzilla, which is amazing. Like, it's an amazing movie. And then there's, like, Godzilla 2 through 74, which you're like, eh. And then it's not so good.
Aren't there two different cuts of the first one? Like, an American version and the Japanese version?
They take out, like, a lot of scenes. Take out, like, any reference to, like, what could be perceived as anti-Americanism at all. Like, even if it's a little bit, like, you know, because we're a bunch of soft babies over here. So they're, like, there's a scene where, like, I can't believe there's a dude who's, like, I can't believe I survived Hiroshima just to have this happen to me. Like, that's edited out of the American version. There's a couple other scenes that are edited out of the American version. Yeah.
And they filmed Raymond Burr and some body doubles.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Raymond Burr was in the American one.
They just put that dude in that movie.
That movie... God, the American one is terrible. It's so bad. Yeah.
What was the difference between the time difference between that and the American version?
It may have been 2 years. Two or three.
Yeah, it wasn't long.
Did they use the same footage and it's just totally it's totally edited and then they add a new actor in and do their own thing?
Yep. And like they dubbed it, of course, and so like when they added in the body doubles of the Japanese actors, you only ever saw them from their back with the dubbed voices. So
yep.
So when you watch it, Micah, do you watch it in Japanese?
Yeah.
And do you have subtitles turned on or no?
Well, yeah, we watched it in class. So we had subtitles turned on because not everybody's a Japanese student. And even if you are, it's good luck trying to understand what's going on if you're not fluent in Japanese. So,
do you think you could understand a little bit of it? Or
I can understand large parts of it, but... But like, I couldn't understand anything talking about with the science stuff because I don't know. I just don't know. I don't have a vocabulary for science.
Right. There's the new Godzilla trailer.
Yeah, no, thank you.
I'll go see it. It's Godzilla.
It looks kind of cool.
Has some big names in it, doesn't it?
Bryan Cranston. That's all I know.
Yeah, that's the only name. I mean, there's actors I recognize, but that's the only big one.
So I watched House of Cards.
Cool.
Yeah, the Netflix show with Kevin Spacey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first season of that I saw. And it really didn't do well on German TV, and they moved it to this time slot like in the middle of the night. And they showed, I think, about 10 episodes of that just to get through that. You know? So they could say, well, we televised it. We gave you the whole season, but they showed it at 4 in the morning. I don't know.
Why do you think it didn't work in Germany?
Well,
do some things just not work over there for whatever reason?
A lot of the political shows or the more intellectual shows didn't do well, and I think there was just too much else going on. That was like Christmas season, and
Home Alone is on.
Some other famous comedies were on. Probably that, yeah.
The Christmas Home Alone is on.
Let's
name our kid Kevin.
But House of Cards is really good. I really enjoyed it. It's like definitely it's a political thriller, definitely. Probably equal weight on the thriller part and the politics. The premise is Kevin Spacey is the House Majority Whip, and he was promised to be the Secretary of State after the president is elected, and the president reneges on his promise. So he and his wife come up with this plan to pretty much destroy all their enemies, get revenge on those who lied to them, and seize power their own way through the system. It's really good. Kevin Spacey's an utter bastard. And just kind of, you kind of feel bad for anybody who gets caught in his wake. So I definitely recommend that. And on a lighter note, I've been watching Community and Parks and Recreation, my two sitcoms. Those are funny and awesome as always.
What was that? Parks and Recreation and Community.
Yeah, Community is a sitcom about this study group at a community college.
Mm-hmm.
Community colleges here, I don't know if you have those over in Germany, but they're basically like 2-year or like secondary colleges. They're not as great of college. They're basically for people who have to have jobs or who aren't smart enough or have enough money to get into a normal 4-year school.
We have something like that. You know, but it's called something else. And I saw a few episodes of that, and I saw, I think, something from the first season of Parks and Recreation, and they're both on the Comedy Channel. We have a version of that. It's like Comedy something. but I didn't get what was funny about Parks and Recreation.
Well, the first season of Parks and Recreation wasn't very funny. They retooled it a lot, and it became hilarious from season two on. Luckily, the first season's only six episodes.
Yeah, it definitely got better after the first season. Yeah, because mm-hmm. that was one show that when it first came on, we started we watched the first few episodes and we were like, eh, it's not that good. But then we heard so many good things about it that we picked it up again second season and was like, whoa, this is really good.
Yeah.
They turned it around.
Yeah, definitely funny show. And at Parks and Rec is coming back for another season. They haven't said anything about Community yet. That show was always hit and miss.
Oh, it was canceled for a while, wasn't it?
No, it was in the third season. They put it on hiatus briefly and didn't finish the third season until like that summer. Right. And they fired the show's creator because of conflicts with him and the network, and between him and Chevy Chase. And they did a fourth season with new creators, but it really wasn't well received. And
that was the weird season, right?
Yeah, so they brought back Dan Harmon, the guy who created the show. Chevy Chase willingly quit not quite at the end of the fourth season, a little bit beforehand. And now they refer to season four as the gas leak year. So it still happened, but anything that was weird or out of character is blamed on the gas leak.
The gas leak at the school?
Yes. The year-long gas leak.
Didn't Chevy Chase leave, like, in a bad terms or...
Yeah, I mean, he was having a hard time dealing with, like, he had a lot of conflicts with the guy who, with Dan Harmon, who was running the show. That's why Harmon got fired. And then he just wasn't getting along with the new showrunners. And the writers who were left over from Harmon's years didn't like Chase. So they were just writing him crappy scenes and just making his character worse and worse to the point where he's just like,
but
I quit.
He never liked the show.
Not really, no. I mean, he had to be talked into it. Even then, he was just like, he didn't like the hours, and he didn't like doing TV. And
he preferred he still doing thinks different it's the comedy.
Yeah, he still thinks it's the 1980s where he's like an A-list celebrity.
He wants to do Clark Griswold jokes, and those don't fly anymore.
Yeah.
They do for me.
Well, to a point, I understand why he didn't like everything they had his character doing. Because his character, like, Chevy Chase is a big liberal, very anti-racist, anti-homophobia, and his character was a racist, homophobe old man. Like, he wasn't malicious about it, he was just super ignorant about his racism and everything.
Yeah.
And they just kept writing him more and more unappealing, like, especially in the fourth season. So...
Yeah, I tried that show. I just couldn't get into it. I think humor is very like what some people find funny and what I find funny is very different.
This is true.
Yep, it's subjective. I don't remember I don't know what TV show I watched lately. I know Hannibal's back in the air, so I'm excited about that.
Dusk Till Dawn is on tonight. Is it tonight?
The Emmys are tonight, so.
From Dusk Till Dawn, the series.
Wrong. I know there was a Dusk Till Dawn series.
Yeah, it's on the El Rey channel, which is starting to show some cool shit. Well, for
what
me.
Channel?
El Rey. It's a Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah,
it's a nice, TV show station.
Huh, and that sounds awesome.
It is. It shows shit like Switchblade Sisters and Dolomite and like kung fu movies and B film movies. And I don't know. It's got my name written all over it.
He's doing a new thing where he's giving like a bunch of directors like $7,000.
Yeah, he's got that competition going on where he's like, I made El Mariachi with... Yeah, let's see. Well, it's like a contest thing.
Yeah,
but he did it like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. I mean, but for some of these people, $7,000 to make a movie is more than they've used in their entire career combined. And so...
Yeah, and I was going to say...
Some of those guys will never... Like, he's giving them opportunity... where the, he's giving them $7,000 instead of them having to get the $7,000.
And I was also going to say technology in terms of the cameras and stuff is a lot better now than when he did it.
Hey,
plus they're probably giving them cameras to use anyway, so.
But it looks like it started last month or a month before that, and it was showing some really crappy like shows over and over and over again. But I noticed this month it started showing like Fright Night and like kung fu movies, like Vengeance and all kinds of crap. I mean, it's good stuff.
We have a channel here called Telly 5, and they showed all the mockbusters. You know, those movies that were based on something that was popular at some point, and then they made the cheap version of it.
Oh, yeah, like Transmorphers stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, the stuff that goes straight to video, so it's out at the same time as the movie comes out.
Yes, yeah, it's that business model. And they put those on television, and you know, Transmorphers was one of them. And there was, you know, when the King Kong remake came out, the one with Jack Black and everyone, they also made a King of the Jungle, and that there's no King Kong monster anywhere in the movie except for like the last 20 seconds or so. Very, very bad effects. Yeah, anyway, and they had made this like a regular thing on Tuesday nights that they would show one of those cheapo movies. And eventually they found out that there was a market for that. There was an actual like cult movie watching audience that tuned in for that. And then they finally showed Sharknado in January. And there was this huge build-up to Sharknado, like over a month or so. It's like, well tune in to Telly 5, you know, for the German premiere of Sharknado. Like this big thing that everyone was talking about on the internet. And then they made it into a comedy show where they had there's a duo, like two comedians from another show, and they would do commentary on the movie in all the commercial breaks. So they had about 8 commercial breaks during Sharknado, and they would always get those two guys that were commenting on the stuff, like commenting on the scenes you had just seen.
Like Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, but they still show the whole movie. Mm-hmm. And they have these comedy bits, and they have, you know, captions while you're watching it. And they put in these captions with like their own comments. Like, this is a really crappy scene. it's getting really downhill from here.
I tried to watch Sharknado. Mm. I only made it about 15 minutes in. It was bad.
It didn't do well here.
I thought it did well. There was a lot of hype about it.
Nah, the ratings were miserable.
Well, there's a lot of hype about it.
People don't actually hate watch things. It's like an over-exaggeration.
People like to talk about the idea, but no one actually wanted to watch it.
Yeah, like, problem is, though, everyone who watched it was on Twitter. And so it seemed like, wow.
It seemed like a lot of people were watching it.
But when the ratings came through, Sci-Fi was like, oh. I mean, they're going to try it again.
It was still enough that they're going to make Sharknado 2 the second one, or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah, because they make the movie for $3 and a stick of gum.
Oh, that's what Robert Rodriguez is all about.
Absolutely.
And make a Sharknado film.
Yeah, I saw that Sharknado, and then I think the next night they showed something where they had sharks in the sand, like beach sharks.
Yep.
Or sharks moving through the ground.
Was that one of the Sharknado's copies?
I think it predates Sharknado, actually.
Okay.
Sand sharks. Better watch out. Hey, Bill, we should take your script to Robert Rodriguez for $7,000, and let's do this. The one about the...
Which one?
The insane asylum in space. with the Laurel and Hardy character.
How are you gonna make that? How are you gonna make that for seven?
I think we could do it. I'll play Hardy. I'm pretty fat. You could be Laurel. You're skinny and tall.
You film it in just a crappy old dingy warehouse.
And, yeah.
So we're in outer space.
You don't actually need to put it in space. Just have a drawing of a space station and put it on camera. Be like, look, see, space station. And then crumple it up and go to the film.
Well, you just need to need a couple small little public domain clips of a ship in space and then the view outside of a window looking at the Earth.
Just need a parking garage. That's what they use for Buck Rogers. I was like, we're watching the fourth episode, and there's a scene where they're chasing Buck, and you could see they're running through a parking garage, and it actually has like P24, P30. I'm like, what the fuck? Right.
Just parking spots.
Yeah. Let's do it. 7 grand. We'll be on the El Rey station there, Bill. We can make this happen.
All right. Call Robert. Let's do it.
We can quit our jobs. We'll be famous.
At last.
All right.
Have any other TV shows or anything?
Any TV? How about any food? Come on, Norbert, you could tell us some food you eat out there. That's got to be different than what we have.
Oh, food, yeah, right. I'm pretty sure it is. Now, I had some good food at home. I also had, it's carnival time, so we're getting, like, yummy donuts, like the original donuts or the European ones that don't have the hole in it. And you get them with various fillings, like there's vanilla filling in it and chocolate filling and strawberry filling.
Those are my favorite kind of donuts, the stuffed donuts.
Me too. It's because you're getting like a donut and like a custardy treat.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's 2-in-1.
Let's see. When I'm at work, you know, we have this nice staff restaurant. And it's pretty good, but you know, I usually try to like eat some of the lighter stuff, like the vegetarian plate or the like a nice salad or something, because I notice when I have a steak or something or a schnitzel in my lunch break, and I just get so tired after that.
Eating healthy, like Bill. That's why Bill, you're never tired, right, Bill?
I don't sleep.
How many hours of sleep do you need a night?
Just like 14 or so.
14?
I don't know, 7.
You cannot be on podcasts.
You ever read Jim Steranko's Twitter feed?
I've read some of it, yeah.
That guy is just out of his mind. But like he was talking about, like, people were asking him how he has the time to do everything that he does. And he's like, well, I only sleep an hour a night and only eat like one meal a day. Then I go running. Alex, how are you alive? The life you have lived.
He's running in a turtleneck.
Steranko has lived the life of like 10 dudes.
I don't think I ate any interesting food. I had orange flavored Peeps. Those wonderful treats that Micah likes so much. And you, Bill.
No, thank you.
Disgusting.
Peeps.
Ugh, Peeps are an abomination.
Hey, you lose, Mike.
They're a sugary treat. Everybody loves them.
Everyone is entitled to their opinion, Mike, but yours is different, so therefore it's wrong.
I only wish you guys knew how good they were. You just don't give them a chance.
Marshmallows.
I gave them a chance.
That's what they taste like.
So bad.
Marshmallows mixed with sand.
Sand? There's no sand. Yeah. I'll make you a sand a peep, and then I'll give you a regular peep, and you tell me it's the same.
I won't be able to tell the difference at all. There's no way they're different, even a little bit.
And the marshmallow doesn't have any bite to it at all. It's just kind of like a gooey...
It's not a marshmallow. It's like this like gooey abomination. Like, no thank you.
This is over. I don't want to hear this. Peep brunch is done. It's ending during peeps.
Ended over peeps.
Yeah, Eric, no one likes those things.
Are you still getting errors on your computer, Bill?
Yeah, I can't play anything. Son of a bitch! Good idea, though. I'll try again. I'll play a song.
It'll crash the whole system. What were you going to play?
You'll find out soon enough.
Play a video? Did you say that you had a creeper cake?
Yeah, not the creeper, though.
Not this Dicko creeper?
No, the real creeper.
What do you mean the real creeper? That is the real like, creeper. Like some
creepers? The Minecraft creeper.
There's no creeper.
Oh.
Sue them.
Are you playing that now?
Hell no. Despite the number of times my kids beg me to play.
Oh, you know you like it.
Your children play that game a lot.
I know.
Like, a lot, a lot.
Well, everyone's children play that game a lot.
Taking over the world.
All right, well, let's wrap this sucker up. This was 200, episode 200.
Woo!
Yeah.
So this show started in 2007, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Dang. It's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago. It just shows you though how infrequent we are.
7 years.
It was bi-weekly. And then we took a hiatus when Heath left.
Right.
Like there was, I think there was a month in there. And then I started to do it just with me and somebody else. And then you guys started, you said you wanted to do it. And then we've been going strong pretty much bi-weekly ever since.
Yeah.
There was another brief hiatus there, wasn't there?
I mean, every now and then we'll miss an episode.
Yeah, we'll have... I don't think we've missed more than one.
No, we don't miss more than one. Yeah.
That's good.
Because there's three of us, so like if I can't make it, Mike and Bill are there. I mean,
yeah.
Mike and Bill.
If I disappear for a month and a half...
And then there was the famous Micah solo episode.
God, that was really a mistake on my everyone's part. It'll never happen again. Ever. I don't understand how anyone does that shit.
Well, I hope you can tour the country again and visit us again, Luke.
Yeah, I'd love to. My cousin and his wife just moved to Denver about a month ago, and they want me to visit, so... If I go see them, I'll stop by the Springs for a quick jaunt.
Yeah. It's gotten chaotic. You thought there was a lot of comics back then. It's been worse.
It's gotten worse?
The kitchen table. You can't even see it. It's like,
oh,
that
was my goodness.
Comics from the 60s all the way to today. And
that was the one uncovered surface when I was
out. I thought Barb was going to burn it down if you got into her kitchen.
I had to take a picture of the table and use that as logo for this episode. Poor Barb, I feel bad.
Just read these damn comics.
she married a guy that's addiction is like impulsive.
Well, your addiction just takes up space is what the problem is.
Yeah, it takes up space.
She's like, why can't you just mainline heroin?
Why can't you be like those guys on Breaking Bad? Come on.
Meth is small.
It's a victimless crime. Come on.
Comics are big.
Well,
and then the more you put them together, the heavier they get. You can't move them anymore.
That's why I use small drawer boxes.
But you have 9 million of them, and so...
You need to just take another podcasting hiatus, Mike, and just do nothing but read for the hours you'd normally be podcasting. You could get through like 1,000
books. It's hard not to talk about these awesome comics with people.
Oh, I know.
It's hard to stay non-vocal and not being able to say, this is so freaking awesome!
Well, what you could do is you could read a comic but have like your laptop open with your headset on, and just as you read a comic, just say, oh, okay, I liked this one, then go on to the next, and then send the file to whoever, and they can just stitch it in.
I'll send it to you. Luke is editing it for me.
Yeah, like I'll be like, here, let's give this a Daryl. Daryl, you could use this, I suppose.
All right.
It's the only way they'll talk about DC Comics on that podcast.
It's the best part about that show.
We talk about DC every now and then, probably once a month.
Yeah, it's usually, hey, Keith, how come you don't like DC Comics still? And he goes on a rant, and it's hilarious, and we all laugh.
So why don't you give us another plug, Luke? And
okay. You can find my comics, all my comic strips, including my daily strip, at centerofsomewhere.com. You can find the podcasts I do. Everything Comes Back to 2000 AD is at 2000ad.wordpress.com. The Sunday Comics Podcast, you can find that on the Taylor Network of Podcasts. And if you want to just chat with me and hear my nonsense and whatever I'm spewing each day, just follow me at Twitter, at cartoonistluke.
There you go. Norbert.
I thought about going on Twitter, but so far I'm not. good, yeah. I'll make a note of that. I want to go to your site, Luke.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Hope you like it.
Norbert. You want to give some contact information or anything?
Well, I'm on Facebook, you know, as myself, Norbert Franz, and you know, as I said, I do some work for Spectrum Games, and they're on Facebook and Twitter as well, I believe. The website is www.spectrum-games.com. As I said, we have a comic book game out, and working on more material for that. I'm also doing a blog now. It's all in German. It's called Krakathum. And I am indeed working on the Krakathum podcast. And there's some material recorded for it, and I'm still looking for a co-host, and I can do some episodes in English, and so hope to speak to artists and collectors and convention people. So that is also the plan. Looking forward to it.
Well, thanks for coming on episode 200.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. And congratulations again.
Yeah. 200. Party! And you can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com. Wow, what was this? Some wind blowing there.
That was my sound effect.
Oh, that was...
That was really exciting. What is that, a wind tunnel?
That's like the crash from a really old Atari game.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like Missile Command when something blows up.
It does sound like Missile Command.
Hey. What is it even supposed to be?
It's an explosion.
Oh.
From Atari game.
Oh, for episode 200. It's an explosion.
Episode 200.
Oh, God, I had no idea.
Sounded like a wind tunnel to me. It's like the $6 million man's running after Sasquatch in that.
He's doing aerodynamic testing.
Yeah.
Trying to break the sound barrier.
So that's geekbrunchpodcast.com.
And yeah.
We're going to put out 12 episodes a week after this episode.
12 a week is a lot.
And you could.
Until next week when Bill gets a second sound effect.
Yeah, he's like the technical genius over there. Special effects. He writes all our scripts. We say verbatim. I'm sorry I had to put you through the scripts, Norbert. And
I mean, it went well, though. So
you guys did a good job reading your scripts.
Good writing.
Yeah, you read it right on time.
Well, when the writing's this good, the lines just come.
Yeah. It really sounded like you were laughing, Luke.
I've been taking improv classes.
Laugh classes. on Twitter, Micah is do_what? All lowercase. Or I guess you could put uppercase. They're not case.
You can. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. You could put all caps.
Absolutely.
At DBM00 is Bill. That stands for Dangerous Billy Masters with a 00. And I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. Join the Facebook page. Click on Geek Brunch or search for Geek Space Brunch Podcast and click the like button and leave an iTunes review. Come on. There you go. Leave an iTunes review. Come on, special effect.
Oh, sorry.
Leave an iTunes review.
5 stars.
An explosive iTunes review.
Yeah. And thank you guys again for joining us. That was a lot of fun. It was good talking to you, Norbert, because I know we talk a lot on the Facebook, but never got to hear you before. Mm-hmm. It was a pleasure.
Yes, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Sunday.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.